Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
It is Wednesday, the 17th day of October 2012, and we're going to be live here for the next 3 hours. Coming up later in the hour, Joseph Curl, who is one of the main correspondents to the White House coverage for the Washington Times, he was at the debate last night. He's going to be joining us coming up in about 30 minutes to give us his take on what happened. Look, I know it's a dog and pony show and both guys are bought and paid for pretty much by the same interest, but Crowley absolutely interrupted. Obama interrupted. It was like watching a fight where one boxer is allowed to have a horseshoe in their gloves, basically. It was like watching a dirty fight. Romney still won, but it was disgusting watching him sit there and make excuses about his assault weapons ban and stuff. But it was scary watching Obama get all excited about banning semi-autos. That's what he called for. Ban on assault rifles. That's all semi-autos is what that list. And saying also they want to just take your guns extrajudicially, just saying you're mentally ill. Because that's how they're really going to go after it, is just outside of law, as they've done with the EPA, shutting down power plants or land grabbing, or saying NATO runs our military. They just do it extra-legislatively, extrajudicially, outside of law. It's called dictatorial. And when somebody does that a lot, you call them a dictator. Yeah, that's where that term comes from. It's really Creepville. And I'm not someone easily manipulated. In fact, I was sitting there watching the debate last night, and I don't believe in lesser of two evils, but I just have this feeling, which is based in all the different facts, that it's immoral to just sit here and say, oh, they're all bad, I'm not going to support either one of them. Because what Joseph Farah has said, and he's on the show Friday, this is so bad. He didn't support John McCain 4 years ago. He wrote the book, Neither of the Above. But there's this feeling that Obama's got things in store. Well, the re-education camps, that is Obama's people. That globalist management crew, that flavor of poison. In fact, one of our great graphics people, he didn't like getting credits, so I won't plug his name. Maybe a street name. He's a well-known street artist here in Austin. He did a big graphic for the upcoming magazine, but I think we're going to get that show that later. And it's a double-barreled derringer. One says Obama, one says Romney, pointed at America's head. You know, it's a guy wearing red, white, and blue. And that's true to a certain extent, but it's kind of like Obama's this howitzer cannon, and then there's a smaller cannon that's Romney. But do you just let it all get really bad and, okay, well, worse is better. Let's get Obama in. Certainly would be good for my radio show, at least in the short term. People kind of go to sleep if Romney gets in. But I'm still like, man, I don't want Obama in there. And I'm being honest about that. That's what I'm feeling personally from all the different facts, and I'm against the whole left-right paradigm. I know Romney's bad. He's terrible, globalist, Republican rhino, anti-Second Amendment, wrote the health care bill. I mean, I know he works for the same people. It's just with Obama, it's moving so fast. But maybe that's just because the globalists are moving fast, and Romney would do the same thing. And so it's kind of pick your poison. They got a gun to our head saying, well, drink strychnine or drink arsenic, and both of them, at the levels they're trying to have us drink them, are poison. So I'm just being honest about the way I feel. What happened, with Ron Paul. I got mad at Rand Paul, not for endorsing Romney. I mean, I understand he's part of the Republican Party. He knows him. He promises to be pro-gun, anti-globalist, even though in the past his voting record's different. It was the Ron Paul minions, in the campaign, writing articles saying we shouldn't criticize the Bilderberg Group anymore, and the people that brought Ron Paul to where he is, we're conspiracy kooks. That's my issue there. Just to be clear, all right, I'm going to continue fleshing all this out. Huge news, more death threats on Romney. It's all coming up.
crashing through the lies and disinformation. It's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Thank you for joining us. We are going to have post-debate coverage here in detail. The Washington Times correspondent to the White House, Joseph Curl, will be joining us. He was at the debate last night to give us his take on what he saw. I'll be getting into the really big news as well today. Israel threatens Syrian intervention over chemical weapons, so they're back pushing that. U.S. troops via NATO are massing all around the country, and of course, for at least 4 months have been on the ground in the nine-month conflict, aiding the jihadis that they're bringing in. The New York Times yesterday reported what we've been telling you for many, many months, that the main force is al-Qaeda and that they're getting arms. But they report it like, oh, we may have to do something about this, so that later they can then call for airstrikes on al-Qaeda after al-Qaeda's taken over the country. It's unbelievable. Just like they're now getting strikes ready with drones and special forces against al-Qaeda in Libya. The groups over a year ago, I said they were putting in, they confirmed they used in mass the main force out of Benghazi in the east into the rest of Libya. And now they're saying they're going to have a new invasion all over Africa, from North Africa to Central Africa, to stop al-Qaeda that the West put in. I mean, that is amazing that they think the public is that dumb they can get away with that. And you know what? A lot of the public is that ignorant. Not so much dumb, but ignorant. Willfully ignorant. They just say, hey, there's a war, there's some bad guys over there. And we're like, yeah, but those bad guys work for the globalists, and they're taking our liberties in the name of fighting those bad guys, but then they're baiting and switching and using the whole police state on the American people and saying returning veterans, gun owners, libertarians, that we're the main terror threat. And I told you that years ago. Now it's mainstream news. They're telling the cops, yeah, no, it's the veterans, it's the libertarians, it's people that don't like the New World Order. It's not that the New World Order doesn't exist now, it's that we're bad because we don't like it. So this is an authoritarian takeover. It is that simple. And we're going to be going over that as well. Huge economic news, huge no-fly list news. Preppers now being put on no-fly list. Got an article up at Infowars.com. London Independent has a very interesting article that I pretty much agree with in my basic historical analysis. Meet Mansa Musa of the African Empire, that in adjusted dollars would be the richest man in the world history. The richest king, richest person. And who's up number two? The Rothschilds. Oh, with $350 billion. The Rockefellers with $340 billion. And the list just goes on and on. Of course, their wealth is actually much greater than that. I'm going to be breaking some of that down for you coming up today. The Rothschilds don't like this stuff being known. They sued a British newspaper, the Daily Mail, a few years ago. The Daily Mail was saying that they were this giant kingpin organization and that had controlled all these Russian oligarchs and others and British politicians as their fronts and had front companies. And they sued them, and the judge got mad and said, well, they've proven the case here in court, and basically threw out the Rothschild suit with prejudice and said that, hey, you lied to the court. I recently was sued, and the suit was thrown out with prejudice. I could sue them and then get big damages back when they do throw it out with prejudice, but I'm not doing that at this time, just because people that are in that type of, you know, terrible situation, for whatever reason, have already basically done everything to themselves, you know. It's just bizarre, the things that go on out there. But Rothschild suit thrown out with prejudice. Thrown out with prejudice. Because they really are. You know, that was the headline that came out after they won the suit, was, you know, won by having it thrown out with prejudice was, one, the rebut of the suit was, they really are, you know, kingmakers, puppet masters. Puppet masters was the headline. So there you go. We're going to be breaking some of that down today here. Okay, top stories. Let me just get to it right now. Yes, the debate's a dog and pony show. Yes, big mega banks, Goldman Sachs, JP Morgan, you can go look at their contributors. The same groups are basically behind both men. But you've got different camps within those. You've got the George Soros, totally wants to ban guns, totally wants world government, wants the dollar to die, all on record, wants to shut down free speech in this country. Super authoritarian strain. Funds and runs Think Progress, Media Matters, White House transition chief, runs Media Matters. Memos came out 2 years ago. They want to destroy alternative media, anything that can resist them. And they see, the Drudge Report, things like that, Infowars.com, as the enemy. That's why they attack us incessantly. And it's very creepy. And it's like Joseph Farah of WorldNet Daily, WorldNetDaily.com, said a few months ago here on the show. He said, look, I didn't vote for John McCain, and I said don't vote for him. They're all controlled. But he said, now we know Obama's moving so quick. He said, I'm going to support Mitt Romney. We know he's a globalist, but he doesn't have the history of going after people's free speech. And Joe Farah, from his connections, and he's in D.C., he's right outside there in Chantilly, been to their facilities, that we're going to be arrested or killed. And you've got the re-education camp documents now 4 months old that only foreign media picked up on. The Army has it on their own website. They use the term re-education camp. I mean, that is so sensational. Where is the New York Times? Where is the Washington Post? Re-education camps run by the Army. I showed you Army manuals yesterday here on air that say working with local police, taking over. Now they've got checkpoints on highways popping up with TSA and regular Army, regular Marines with heavy machine guns in the backs of Humvees aiming at cars. I mean, nothing to do with Al-Qaeda. All to do with us. What is government planning? And the word is that if Obama gets back in, there's going to be basically a big false flag, maybe even before, and that they plan to go after their opposition. That has always been the plan. Now, continuing here, ladies and gentlemen, you've got this whole backdrop happening. And I have attacked Mitt Romney. I'm not going to go and vote. Plus, there's no real voting in Travis County where I live. It's been proven certified a fraud many times. I've gone to the county commissioners. They've had the state board back in 98 admit it was fraud, but said it can just go forward. So there's no voting here anyways where I live. That's why we're under such UN tyranny. That's why we're the UN model city of how to take over government internationally, because Congress won't sell us out completely. They've just come in and taken over. I mean, it's just unbelievable the corporate looting they have here, raising property taxes to give the money to the University of Texas, to give it to Formula One racetracks, to give it to sport. I mean, it's just unbelievable what I live under. But continuing here, we're sitting here watching all this tyranny unfold. And the question is, do you just want to let Obama drive it into high gear? Or do you want Mitt Romney to kind of slow it down a little bit, but you still keep rolling forward and everybody goes to sleep and then the tyranny solidifies? Or do you have Obama get back in and have it get really bad and hope people finally wake up out of their coma? I don't know, okay? I just know at an animal level, at an instinctive level, watching that rigged debate last night and watching Crowley, Aleister Crowley up there, the moderator, or whatever her name is, whatever its name is, Candy Crowley, sit there and interrupt over and over again and lie and twist and dissemble. It was like watching two people in a boxing ring fighting another person. Even if you don't like the guy they're fighting, if there's two boxers attacking another boxer, you automatically are for the underdog. I mean, it's rigged, it's disgusting, and if America doesn't realize that was a rigged debate and Romney still barely won, I don't know what to say. I mean, again, it's not so much whether I'm for Obama or Romney. It's that the spectacle of how rigged the game is and how rigged the system is, and that the CNN-run debate was absolutely pro-Obama all the way, and there wasn't even the attempt to act like it wasn't completely partisanly skewed to the Democrats. You start asking, well, I mean, am I wrong to not be supporting Romney if the power structure doesn't want him in? Those are questions there. Like I said, I don't have voting. I live in Travis County. We don't have voting here. It's been proven. I'm run by the UN. I mean, I moved out of Travis County. It's a great county, wonderful place. I'm not knocking Austin, Texas. It's my favorite city in Texas. It's just that I have moved outside of it to at least have lower property taxes. They take property taxes here and also make you pay for abortions. It's part of the hospital district, only county in Texas that does that. So I've moved out of Austin. But still, I come into it, and it's weird to drive into a UN-occupied city. The UN brags that it's under UN control. We've done news reports and says that Austin is a UN city and that we're under UN control. I mean, I live in an occupied city by the UN itself, not just occupied America under the globalist and under the federal government itself sold out to the New World Order. I live in an actual occupied city. I'm always digressing because there's no teleprompters, there's no talking points. I've got just news stacked to the rafters coming up in the next segment. I'll start getting into it. Then Washington Times reporter, senior reporter, Joseph Curl, that was there, he's going to be on. He's got his headline story I just tweeted out at Real Alex Jones. Crowley skews hard for Obama in disastrous presidential debate. And it was disastrous. I mean, it was Forbes is calling it sickening. Because there was so much interrupting and so much cheating by Obama and Crowley, and then they just basically threw themselves on him, trying to push him up against the ropes. I mean, it was a terrible boxing match, but they're the ones that did it. And we've got horrible, comments by Obama saying, yeah, he's coming after our guns. That's official. Wants to ban all semi-autos. And he wants to, outside of law, just ban people. Government says you're mentally ill. No judge, no jury. No, they just say it. You're on a list. You don't get guns. Like a no-fly list, a no-gun-buy list. And then you've got the lesser of two evils there. Cheerleading gun bans. Romney. Totally disgusting. And then you've got all the death threats I haven't gotten to yet. That's top story over at DrudgeReport.com, also at InfoWars.com. New death threats, and now the media is starting to pick it up. I'm Alex Jones, your host. Thank you for joining us. Joe Curl, Washington Times correspondent. At the debates last night, he'll be joining us to give us his take on it. And then we're going to get into the second hour, and I'll play. I don't want to just play clips. I'm going to play like 5, 6, 7, 8 minute chunks. We've got a couple chunks here where you can hear the whole assault weapons ban, restrict the Second Amendment, back and forth from both of them. And it tells you where the attempt to restrict the Second Amendment is going, and it's spot on from our analysis. So this is good intel. And then we've got, obviously, the big story. Crowley totally trying to throw the debate to Obama, and I think it's going to backfire on him if people have any brain cells left. We're starting to see that. Obama, like a little kid, or like a collectivist, says, "Isn't that true, Candy?" And I noticed he kept waiting and going, "Go ahead, Governor, go ahead and say more," while he was trying to set him up. Because I knew back when he said in the Rose Garden, the day after the ambassador was killed, and the media made a huge deal out of it, and both sides tried to politically capitalize on it, I remember him just saying, "We will not be deterred, we will not be scared by terror," in a long, rambling statement. But he had all his surrogates out on TV, and for 2 weeks, it was a big national story, you heard it, saying that, no, it was not a terror attack, it was not organized, it was a protest that got out of hand. And now Hillary's had to apologize, and they're saying it's al-Qaeda. I point out, well, why'd you put al-Qaeda in there to begin with? Why is that not being looked at? But the point is, Crowley said, no, Obama's right. Knowing that most people watching don't read newspapers, 23% now read newspapers, and that they just now believe that, ooh, Romney's an idiot. Romney got schooled. All because they're playing semantical games. And there are literally hundreds of articles. If you just type in, "Obama says attack was terror," "Mitt Romney says Obama didn't call Libya a terror attack," get smacked down. That's the George Soros Huffington Post. Well, now AOL moved on up the chain. And it just goes on and on with headlines and articles saying, "Fact check, CNN, yep, Crowley was right and Obama was right." Next, they're going to tell you the moon's made of cheese. They can only get away with this because they've got a population that doesn't know anything. anything. I mean, it was 2 weeks. I'm a radio talk show host. I do a nightly news show. I live news. And I got sick of the debate for 2 weeks, them saying, oh, this wasn't coordinated. This wasn't this. This wasn't that. On and on. I know talk radio listeners. You know this has been all that's been talked about pretty much in the last month. And for 2 weeks of it, they kept denying and saying it wasn't organized. Of course it was organized with big anti-tank guns and anti-aircraft guns and hundreds of guys and a huge pitch battle, Alamo-style deal. But they somehow are now spinning it that, oh, yeah, it was. This is the rewriting of history we're witnessing right now. It's amazing how this is done. So they're rigging this just like they rigged the debate. And again, I'm not here saying I love Mitt Romney. It's just to watch them gang up. She interrupted him. I've got the numbers here. What is it? 28 times. And she only interrupted Obama 9. I watched the debate. Those weren't really interruptions. That was shutting him down. In fact, Breitbart says it's 28 times. It was more than that. I mean, it was just it was like a lawyer interrupting somebody on the witness stand to where they can't even talk. Just objecting, 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 and interrupting and confusing and dissembling and trying to get Romney off balance. I don't think it really worked overall, but it did cloud things. What's a squid do when it's scared? It squirts out ink. And it just tried to cloud everything where, and then lie to people. Here is the U.S. Ambassador Susan Rice to the U.N., one of literally hundreds of clips of their minions, saying that it was not a coordinated terror attack. Here it is.
I'm sorry, what's your name?
It's Kerry.
Yeah, hold on just
Ambassador,
a moment.
He says that this is something that's been in the planning stages for months. I understand you have been saying that you think it was spontaneous. Are we not on the same page here?
Well, Bob, let me tell you what we understand to be the assessment at present. First of all, very importantly, as you discussed with the president, there is a investigation that the United States government will launch, led by the FBI. That has begun.
But
and
they're not there.
They're not on the ground yet, but they have already begun looking at all sorts of evidence of various sorts already available to them and to us, and they will get on the ground and continue the investigation. So we'll want to see the results of that investigation to draw any definitive conclusions. But based on the best information we have to date, what our assessment is as of the present is, in fact, what it began spontaneously in Benghazi as a reaction to what had transpired some hours earlier in Cairo.
Okay.
Where, of course, as you know...
And she says it over and over again, not a terror attack, not a terror attack. But now they always said it was a terror attack, and you just need to go back to sleep and drink your fluoride.
Listening to an Infowars.com frontline report. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
We are back, ladies and gentlemen, in broadcasting worldwide. Thank you so much for joining us. I am your host, Alex Jones. We are here Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Central. That's 12 noon to 3 p.m. Eastern, going out on XM 166 and also Infowars.com. Audio streams, as well as over 130 AM and FM affiliates, all of them absolutely precious because we are reaching millions and millions of new people every single week. Okay, so we've been breaking down the debate, and we've got Obama saying, yes, he wants to ban semi-automatics, period. He wants an assault weapons ban, and that he wants to be able to just say people are mentally ill. No judge, no jury, just put you on a no-gun buy list that his former chief of staff, Rahm Emanuel, said was one of their main goals 4 years ago in the campaign. So he is anti-gun. He wants your guns. He says, you have a right to a Second Amendment. That right is to turn your guns into the government. We're going to be getting into that in the next hour and playing large clips of the debate. And breaking down Susan Rice, the ambassador to the UN, the U.S. ambassador to the UN, saying it was not terror. That was said by hundreds of surrogates. It was said all over the place until they got into Congress. And then Congress People didn't want to lie under testimony from the State Department, so they said, yes, it was a coordinated, organized attack. Yeah, with anti-tank guns, anti-aircraft guns, hundreds of people. But Obama, in his Rose Garden speech, just said America will stand up, you know, to terror. But he didn't call this terror. It was in a rambling speech about terror and about what happened there at the consulate. But saying that that didn't appear to be coordinated. And Candy Crowley of CNN clearly tried to throw the entire thing to Obama. I mean, I was watching it. She interrupted 28 times to the 9 times that she interrupted Obama. Obama was constantly interrupting, constantly lying. It looked like two boxers against one boxer in some type of rigged fight. And I think it's starting to backfire on them. But none of the Huffington Post has their way in others. They're saying, quote, Romney got smacked down saying that Obama never said that it wasn't terror. For 2 weeks on record, it was a big national controversy. They said that it was not an act of terror. Now they're saying they never said that. And that it was terror all along. Just amazing how dumb they think we are. And to break this down in other anomalies, he's got a great article out today at the Washington Times. I tweeted it out at the Real Alex Jones tweet. And I think it's also linked up at drudgereport.com. But WashingtonTimes.com has the excellent article by Joseph Curl. Crowley skews hard for Obama in disastrous presidential debate. And he goes over it. And he was at the debate last night. Joe, thanks for coming on.
Thanks, Alex. Thanks for having me.
I know you're a busy guy there. Break down what you thought overall and other facets I haven't gotten into and where you think this is going with this debate being so rigged.
Well, I thought, there's all the things that you talked about, the 28 interruptions to 9 for Romney, the way she kind of, you know, spoke over Romney when he was trying to get, you know, even just claim his real time. But I thought what the extraordinary thing was of last night was that it was questions from supposedly undecided people. Now, how you find, you know, any one undecided people this late into the process, I don't know, but you're also finding him in Hempstead, New York. So I imagine, you know, 90% of these people voted for Obama last time and are telling the pollster Dallas, hey, I'm undecided. But, you know, New York is 90% Democrat anyway. But then the extraordinary thing was Candy Crowley had the right to pick her own questions. These people wrote their questions on a card, gave them to Candy Crowley, and then she decided what the topics were. And that's an extraordinary power that she had last night. I mean, she picked topics that were clearly, Breitbart has a story of today saying, you know, they skewed 2-1 in favor of Obama. But there were questions about outsourcing, which is basically just, you know, a hanging curveball for Obama to get into Bain Capital. She had a question about women's rights, and you know, that opened up for Obama the Lilly Ledbetter thing. The quality of pay, you know, insurance paying for contraception. She asked about immigration. That really sort of favors Obama in that, you know, Romney's plan is more unpopular and harder to get through. The other thing that was incredible was she asked about Libya. And you would think, you know, right away I thought, well, you know, maybe we consider that Romney's favorite question. But I thought the real point is one.
Joe, hold on one moment till you get to a better spot. I know you're out there driving, and we're there covering it, and you're bringing up some really good points. I'm waiting till you get to a better cell area, or we may reconnect with you. But yeah, I mean, there's so many facets to this. Watching it, you could tell the questions were skewed. She was interrupting, and then of course the big finale. Obama, isn't that right, Candy? Yeah, you're right. He's wrong. This appeal to authority, knowing it was all pure bull. I mean, it was. I've never seen a debate this rigged. Obama got more time. What, 9% more time? I mean, right. I mean, why not? Why not put a gag in Mitt Romney's mouth?
That last part that you mentioned was extraordinary. It was Romney asking Obama a question. You didn't call it terror in that first speech you gave, did you? And Obama said, well, please proceed, Governor. And then he said, no, seriously, did you or did you not? And Obama said, check the transcript. And suddenly, Candy Crowley jumps in and says, no, it's in the transcript. She did call it terror. It turned out that was completely false. But what's amazing is she just told it to 60 million people. And the fact check today will be read by a couple of million people. So last night, everyone who turned off that TV at 10:30 went, oh, well, you know, Romney's making some scurrilous accusation that he never called it terror. They spent 10 days not calling it terror. And as you pointed out, only called it terror once they got to the State Department. And if they don't call it terror at that point, then they're really in the process of moving toward perjury and lying to Congress, which is, and remember how they changed their entire story. They gave us one whole story right before the State Department went down to testify. They gave it a complete, they called reporters out, at night, 9 o'clock at night, to tell a completely different story because they were about to go and tell Congress that.
Well, so sometimes, Joe, we're talking to Joe Curl, the Washington Times, WashingtonTimes.com. He's one of their senior reporters there and, of course, is their correspondent at the White House. This is amazing, though, because, how dumb do they think the public is? Some days they were changing their story. I remember they changed it 3 times in 1 day. Even mainstream dinosaur media admitted they were flip-flopping and were caught in a big scandal. And now they're trying to rewrite history with this fraud. I mean, this is a fraud saying that they always said it was terror when we've got all their surrogates on television arguing, saying, no, it was not terror. It was not terror. It was a protest that got out of hand with anti-aircraft guns.
That's right. And then, I'm sure your listeners have read that. If they haven't, they need to read that riveting account that the State Department gave out the night before the congressional testimony, because they told a completely different story. They told a story of heavily armed men, hundreds of them, pouring over that 9-foot fence with 3 feet of barbed wire, streaming into that compound. Nothing at all like the first stories they told, which was, oh, it was a raucous protest of this film that was, on YouTube, posted in June that no one's ever seen, and then suddenly it turned violent after what was happening in Egypt. It was an absurd story, and they had to take it back. But even more than that, Jay Carney was day after day in the White House briefing room asked, well, is it a terrorist attack? And wouldn't say it until the State Department guy testified, said, well, of course it was an act of terror. Then Jay Carney asked again at the briefing room, said, well, of course it was an act of terror. It was, of course, an act of terror, and everybody knew it within hours, even the White House. And there are reports now that they were hearing things within 24 hours that this was an act of terror. Even more amazing is we still don't know, and the State Department has never told us what happened to the ambassador. Apparently, they didn't even know where he was. When he got to the hospital, they only found out when doctors took his cell phone and started calling recently called numbers. And then they went, oh, we got the U.S. ambassador here. Nobody knows how he got there. We've got that crazy picture of Olivia dragging him, who's holding a cell phone in his mouth. We don't know if he's helping him or if they're dragging his body through the streets, as we heard early on. We don't know the rest of that story. And apparently this seems to be the way Hillary Clinton's talking about it. She's got to wait until this investigation is over. So they're, of course, going to wait until after this election before they really tell us what happened.
I'm just blown away. I mean, is it just me, Joe? Or is the lying just in politics generally getting more and more bold, more and more out of control? I mean, this level of public lying and the media going along with these frauds would make Bill Clinton blush. Or am I...
Well, and think of what just happened on Sunday. It started to happen, I guess, Saturday. They got to the father, Christopher, the ambassador's father, who said, don't politicize this. The Sunday talk shows were filled with Obama surrogates saying, well, you're just politicizing this. This is just all politics. This wasn't a big issue until, Romney and Ryan got their hands on it and started politicizing it. So you're right. This is now lying openly, and then when you get pressed against the wall and you actually have to start admitting some of your falsehoods, then you just turn around and call it politicized. Well, they're politicizing it.
Or you just say that there never was a controversy and you always said it was terror and knew day one what it was. There's also this statement, we're going to play it in the next hour after you're gone, but I know you were there in person watching it, Joe Curl joining us here. What did you make of Obama saying, I will never politicize the war on terror, when he's done this big production over the killing of bin Laden, and they've got Hollywood producers in there day one scripting the release of it and everything, and then just I've never seen such bald-faced lying.
But see, that's the fantastic thing about the Democrats. It's okay if the Democrats do it, but then if the Republicans begin to ask questions about what really went on there, then they're politicizing it. It's shocking the way they're even the way they couch the language. I mean, they tell us weeks later that they were providing us only the information they had at the time. And they complained about Mitt Romney shooting at the hip, shooting too quickly, when in fact they're telling us a story that turns out to be completely wrong. They're telling us a spontaneous protest. They're out there telling us that. The top officials are telling America that's what happened. It's over a video. They then have to turn around and say, not over a video, and it wasn't spontaneous, and it was actually heavily armed terrorists and not a couple of guys just out there angry about
backing up exactly what Mitt Romney said, but then Mitt Romney still even worse for being right. Shifting gears in this whole area, your article gets into a whole laundry list of how they skewed it. Do you think, Joe Curl, that this is going to backfire on them, or will they get away with this? Because obviously there's been a lot of discussion about the fact that these debates had a lot of partisanship and were rigged. Now that we've seen the most rigged debate that I've ever seen in my life, is this just the new way it's going to work? I mean, maybe they'll give the conservative or the Republican 1 minute, and then the Democrat gets an hour and 29 minutes.
Yeah. Well, it's extraordinary to go to these events, to actually be in the room, because the press corps is so fantastically liberal. I was sitting in the at Hofstra in the press filing center, surrounded by people that were cackling at everything that Romney said. And then, even cheering when Obama said, there was a point where Obama said something about, his pension fund saying, my pension fund is not as big as yours, and the whole place erupted in laughter and cheers. So this is the real media. The media is there cheering on their guy, and it's gonna take the Republicans. The Republicans have known this, and you know this from all the things you do. It's always going to be harder for the Republicans to get their voices heard, to get through this massive media filter. So they're going to have to just keep at it. And I think, that's why Romney really kind of went at that last night. But even after the debate, all of these liberal reporters that I was talking to, they were all saying, this is going to backfire on them. They just brought up the Libya thing, this whole terrorist thing, this is the main story tomorrow. And I have seen some of the morning cable networks, they've been talking about it. It became a big story. It's so they get called out on things, but look how egregious it has to be. It has to be.
So you think it is? You think it is being there? And you're saying even the Democratic operatives posing as journalists, they were even upset knowing that it was such an outrageous lie that it's going to backfire.
Oh yeah, they were grudgingly admitting last night that that's going to be a big story tomorrow, because all of us within seconds, we all Googled the president's speech on September 12th, the day after the attack. We all scanned through it to see him say what happened in Benghazi was a terrorist attack, and he didn't say that. He said, we're not going to let acts of terror thwart us in our worldwide fight of blah, blah, blah. You can't call it global terrorism or extremist.
It was a general proviso. Look, they knew they were lying.
But he did say we're not going to allow acts of terror. But that's not calling what happened in Benghazi an act of terror, which they then proceeded for up to 10 days to deny was an act of terror. Now, how they can point to that and say, well, we said, I said it that night, that day, on September 12th, that's just not true. And I think even the liberal reporters last night said, well, this one's not going to work out so well for the Obama people.
We're talking to Joe Curl, writes for the Washington Times. He has his article out today. It's excellent. Crowley skews hard for Obama in disastrous presidential debate. You can read it up at InfoWars.com. We have it linked there in the guest area, obviously also at WashingtonTimes.com. We've only got him to the end of the hour, about another 10 minutes here, Joe. We appreciate your time. I know you've got to go to a bunch of different events to cover today, and you're traveling right now. What do you make of other tidbits? Because there was so much rigging. I don't even know where to start. What are some other areas we haven't talked about here that you noticed?
Well, another back to the questions that Candy Crowley got to ask. And she, you know, she began looking through 80 questions. She can pick any topic she wants. There was an extraordinary question where she called on a woman who said, you know, I'm really concerned and worried about the Bush administration. I didn't like them much and their policies, their international policies. How are you different from George Bush, and how would you, in your presidency, differentiate yourself from George Bush? Now, how that's a question to two candidates is beyond me. It basically gave, it forces Romney to defend the Bush years. He's not George Bush, but now all of a sudden he's connected to George Bush in this question. And then it gives Obama a full 2 minutes to say all the things that, remember, he's constantly, everything is George Bush's fault.
Sure, it takes him back 4 years ago when he was running against Bush's record as the savior. It rewinds and kind of activates all those, you know, memories out there. One more segment with Joe Curl straight ahead. I'm going to bring up an issue that's linked up at DrudgeReport.com as one of the top stories there in that whole raft of reports. Threats to assassinate Romney explode after debate. And meanwhile, they've got Think Progress and George Soros Group saying we're making this up. Even though it's all over the news, these are real threats. Well, Joe Curl is our guest, Washington Times writer of many years. He's, of course, been White House correspondent for many years as well. We're almost out of time here. I want to move quick. What do you make of Creator Syndicate and other publications reporting for a week and a half the threats to riot if Romney wins? And then we start writing about it. And now it's been attacked by, you know, the George Soros crowd, the Media Matters, the Think Progress, all these legends in their own minds. They were saying yesterday in a bunch of articles that I'm just basically making all this up. There's literally thousands of Twitters and Facebooks. We can't even keep track of them all. During the debate last night, it was, you know, we're going to kill Romney. We're going to kill him. So we put an article out. It's up at DrudgeReport.com right now. Threats to assassinate Romney explode after debate. And they're still saying that we're being bad to point this out. Look, I've been visited by the Secret Service for listeners making mild comments on the radio that don't even approach one-tenth of this. So I want to know, where's the double standard? What do you think about this, Joe?
Well, that's again another amazing thing is if you even complain about, you know, Barack Obama vociferously, you'll get a little bit from the Secret Service. I really wonder, like, we've been seeing these stories now for a few days. And the Twitter feed, like you're saying, it's just a torrent of threats and more and more stuff pouring out. It's the same kind of thing. I'm wondering what the Secret Service does. And I really think, you know, reporters are, again, they're going to ignore this, but they can't ignore it for very long. And somebody's going to call up the Secret Service at some point and say, what are you guys doing? And they're going to have to get on this case because there's so many things going on. This guy, Mitt Romney, Republican candidate for president, has Secret Service protection. You know, the security last night at the hospital was absolutely extraordinary. It was like an armed camp there. But I can't imagine why the Secret Service isn't already on this and why other reporters aren't following this. You know, just think about it. Flip it to Kennedy and Obama getting death threats. We would be hearing that story nonstop.
Absolutely. Your phone again on the road. Joe Curl, Washington Times, fading out a bit. It's going to come back here in just a moment, hopefully. Again, restate the last thing you were saying about Obama.
Well, just imagine if this were Barack Obama, a candidate Obama in 2008, getting death threats on Twitter. Not a few, not dozens, just hundreds and hundreds. The Secret Service would have been all over that. And the press corps, of course, that would have been a daily story for as long as it took to get to the bottom of it. And whether, you know, you arrest all these people threatening Barack
I had
Obama.
The FBI 2 years ago, or I guess it was 3 years ago now, asked me what my Obama poster meant. And all it is Obama, and says the Obama deception. Right outside that control room, they said, what's that poster mean? I've had the FBI here asking me about a film I made about Obama that doesn't call for any violence, but then George Soros' group is like, how dare us point out, why are they allowed, all these people on Twitter and Facebook, to call for Mitt Romney's death? I mean, it's just an amazing double standard.
Yeah, and again, when you then lump in the press corps, which is not interested in it, doesn't care about it, not going to ask any questions, not going to make any phone calls, they just let that story disappear. And it's the kind of thing that you really have to wonder, you know, is this okay because he's a Republican, or you know, why doesn't the press corps, again, this is just a story. A torrent of death threats, how can they not find that a story on any candidate?
Well, I'm glad you're here talking about it, and I'm glad DrudgeReport.com's linked to it, one of its top stories. It's up at InfoWars.com. This is only a 60-second break, and I know you've got to go, but I want to ask you what you think's going to happen if Obama does get reelected, what he'll do in 4 years, versus if Romney gets elected, will there be riots? Because that's also being ignored. Thousands of tweets, you name it, threatening to riot and burn down cities if Obama is not reelected.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Washington Times, a political reporter, White House correspondent. Joe Curl's our guest for just 5 more minutes. Then he's got to go. His article is excellent, breaking down the rigged event. And again, we were talking off air. He was saying it's like a sports team. Even if you don't like the other team, even if, you know, we didn't like Romney, when they're getting cheated, you're like, hey, these are bad calls. And I've never seen the system so desperate. Finishing up here, Joe, where do you see it going if there's a real election, who do you think is going to win, A? B, if Obama does lose, do you think people will carry out these threats to riot?
Well, on your second one, and then with the same Twitter stuff, I mean, you know, these are things that, again, are moving on Twitter. And, you know, just with those kind of words, you can search them very easily. You know, I'm going to riot. We should all riot if Obama loses. It's, you know, these are threats that are out there. And again, you know, I wonder if anyone, local police forces, Secret Service, anyone is following through on these things. They're easily traceable if you want to trace them. And I think, you know, I think close to Election Day, I hope, you know, both sides are going to be calling for calm. I mean, that's what makes America great, is we transfer power with no violence, with no struggle. That's what we've done for 225 years. I hope both sides will be calling for calm, whatever the outcome. And that may mean that, you know, the Democrats and Barack Obama have got to do more of that. If they're the ones threatening to riot, maybe they'll have to do more of those calls for calm and acceptance of whatever happens on election night.
Joe Curl, what's your gut tell you? Or looking at the polls, Romney is close, and some polls, as you know, Rasmussen gone above. Who do you think is going to win in your gut?
Well, I think the polls are all leaning toward Obama now. I'm sorry, to Romney now. He's picking up on the thing that I keep watching is not only the demographic that he's picking up, Hispanics, women, blue collar workers, you know, some blacks, he's got, you know, 10 to 11% black, Hispanics. Not only that, but then starting to watch where Obama is going. When he starts going to places like Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Iowa, that means their internal polls, and again, you know, the external polls are skewed. NBC is doing polls that have, you know, 19% more Democrats than Republicans. And they'll show Obama up by 4 points. What Obama's saying is making him go to Wisconsin is his internal polls, which are not skewed, are saying, hey, we're in real jeopardy here in Wisconsin. And in places like, you know, Pennsylvania's now a 4-point race right there. That's extraordinary.
Sure. Well, I mean, they always create, and the dinosaur media always creates the illusion of the bandwagon, and that's how they hope to get people to, you know, kind of go with who they think's going to win. And I agree. We just saw Obama change his schedule around and shift where he's going. I think that signals the panic button.
Yeah, and I think the other thing that we'll see in the next, we've only got 20 days left, the other thing that we'll have to see eventually is if the media is going to, you know, look okay after this, like they weren't skewed and biased, they're going to have to start actually representing the truth. I mean, if they already know Obama's losing by 5 points, watch how the media starts to sort of move toward that message. Like, boy, you know, Romney's really opening the lead. It's like, well, you know, that lead's been there for probably months and months, and you guys just haven't seen it. The bottom line is, when there are all these undecided voters, that means they're not backing the guy they voted for. Only 47% really in most of the polls are going for Obama. He won with 53%. That means 6% are undecided. They're not voting for him again, but they haven't been persuaded enough by Mitt Romney. What we're starting to see right now is they're breaking hard for Mitt Romney. They did not break back to Barack Obama.
Sure, and by the way, in these tweets, almost all of them say, I want my free goodies. And I get, you know, all this welfare money. That's why I'm going to get angry. Well, we're going to find out what happens in the next 20 days. It's one of the craziest election cycles I've ever seen. Joe Curl, thank you so much for spending time with us.
Thanks, Alex. Appreciate it.
All right, there he goes. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, to get into some of the debate clips and some of the geopolitical news and then your phone calls. Stay with us.
You are listening to an InfoWars.com frontline report. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Riders on the Storm.
Riders on the Storm.
Again, everyone knows where I stand. Thank you for joining us. Again, another hour of global transmission against tyranny. Mitt Romney supported abortion with that same clear-eyed charmingness that he shows today for 30 years, running around supporting his father, supporting his mother, supporting other political campaigns. I could play the clips all day. And I really disrespect someone that passionately promotes abortion and then says they're totally against it. Okay? I mean, Romney is a really convincing person. He's charming. So is Obama. But Romney's been anti-gun before. Romney's been for open borders. So when he's up there telling Obama, I'll legalize the illegals. I mean, I guess the illegals should probably be voting for Romney. He'll probably actually get it done. You know, the issue here is that I don't like Mitt Romney. I don't like being conned. And I don't like the devil, even if he's trying to put his arm around me. That's a quote, a paraphrase from Albert Speer, he became the head of the Department of the Interior in Germany, an architect that Hitler really liked. He's one of the few guys that didn't get convicted at Nuremberg because they could show he really wasn't connected to the really dark stuff. But he apologized and said, you don't know the devil's bad or is the devil when he's got a warm arm around your shoulder. And, you know, Mitt Romney has a warm arm around our shoulders, those of us that want Second Amendment, family, anti-abortion, pro-life, national sovereignty. Sounds good. I mean, he says a lot of good things. That said, though, we know who Barack Obama is. I mean, he has been anti-small business. He said you didn't build your small business. He's done everything he can to shut down small businesses. We know he pushes abortion worldwide, including massively increasing funding for basically forced abortion, where they make you have an abortion if you want government money in Africa. Total open borders, total federalization, UN over our military. It's so crazy when he brings up Bain Capital, too, because Bain Capital, you can look this up, has given more money, a lot more. Last time I checked, double the money to Obama than they've given to Mitt Romney. And, of course, Mitt Romney should be criticized for some of his corporatist takeover stuff. A lot of that's not free market. It's looting. But Obama is funded by the very same people. And is, the point is, when you're informed, it's just all a wall of disinformation and fraud. And I will not sit here and believe Mitt Romney, who says he's changed. Because he doesn't say he's changed. He just says he now supports all these things I agree with. See, if he came out and apologized and explained how he'd changed and swore he'd never go back on his word, then I would, you know, maybe go lesser of two evils. But still, even if you don't like Romney, you're left with Obama. And it is a Hobson's choice, I guess they call it. But that debate was rigged and was shameful. And so it psychologically, by the end, I looked at my wife and I said, I may go on the air and say, vote for Romney tomorrow. Now, I woke up in the morning and kind of cooler head prevailed. It's still, though, I'm watching a rigged event, and I'm just like, this is rigged. This is rigged. And so psychologically, I'm like, well, I'm for the underdog. But again, it's a distraction. Romney, Obama, it's the globalist above them. And this whole dog and pony show with them fighting and the rigging and all of it, that's just management teams battling for the control. So we need to get past that diversion and look at the private Federal Reserve, the globalist, the eugenicist, and why no matter who we get in office at the highest levels, the agenda just moves forward. They implement the agenda in different ways with different styles, but it's the same thing. So that's what I have to say. But clearly the Democrats are in power. They want to continue what they're doing, and they want to rule by executive decree, and they've moved Homeland Security from focusing on Al-Qaeda over to the American people, and that's now admitted. So I'm in the position, people have to understand this too, and Joseph Farah made this point on air a few months ago, but I already knew this point, but he just articulated it. And that's that, hey, Alex, they see WorldNet Daily and they see Infowars.com in the Republican Party camp regardless, and that's why the Democratic Party operatives come after us and sick the IRS on us. I just don't whine about it. And you know, the threats and the attacks and the legal harassment, and it's all this stuff constantly going on. I don't even get into on the air because they want to shut us down. So it's like, okay, you don't want to be in the Republican camp, Mr. Jones? Fine. How about you're in the no man's land where the wolves are going to come after you? Because, Alex, you're pro-gun, you're pro-Second Amendment, you're pro-family. The Republican Party claims they're for all of that, even if they betray it. So because you say you're for those things, the Democrats hate your guts because they're proud of their communism. They're proud of their anti-family. They're proud of abortion. They're proud of eugenics. Bill Maher, all of them, they're always talking about, you know, kill people, kill this, kill that, get rid of the elderly, get rid of the, on and on and on. That's who they are. They're a bunch of nasty people. And so regardless, okay, I'm not endorsing Romney. I'm still going to be attacked. I'm still called a right winger. I'm not a right winger. I'm a classical liberal like Thomas Jefferson. That's what I believe. But people don't even know what real terms are anymore. So I just sit here under attack because I don't want to turn my guns in, and I think my property taxes are too high. They even had a LULAC in East Austin, usually very liberal, come out yesterday on the news and say, we've polled the Hispanics in East Austin areas who are smart, hardworking, industrious people, Texas citizens, American citizens, and none of them want this property tax increase. And they had guys on the local 590 AM was, you know, having a newscast interviewing them. And they were at this public event with the state senator, Kirk Watson, that sold us out to the UN. He was mayor here. This is a microcosm of your area. And the LULAC head's like, listen, these big corporations all get tax exemptions. And our people, you know, they can't pay these property taxes. The average small little home in East Austin has a $2,000 a year tax. Yeah, I had a $100,000 house years ago that I sold. And my last property tax bill, this is like 7 years ago, 8 years ago, my last property tax bill in that $110,000 house, what it cost, a very modest house, three-bedroom house, but small. That house, I was paying something like $2,200 in property taxes, rent on my property. But I'm now digressing. I said I'd get into the debate and play clips of it and give the number out so you can join us on air. If you want to talk about the debate, if you thought it was rigged or think I'm wrong, think it was, you know, the greatest thing since sliced bread, her interrupting Romney 28 times to 9 times for Obama, Obama getting 9+% more time, the moderator lying and saying that Obama, you know, was correct, butting in with it. I mean, it was just off the charts. And I mean, even if you don't like Mitt Romney, is this what you like? Totally rigged garbage? And I know the whole thing's a diversion. But the fact that they can be that staged shows how stupid they think we are. 800-259-9231. 800-259-9231. First-time callers. Let me add that proviso. You give first-time callers a chance to get involved on air. And we'll play some of these clips and get to it. I've also got the anti-gun stuff. That's what really creeped me out. I mean, Romney, you know, Obama's like, yeah, we're coming after your semi-autos. I want to ban those. And, yeah, I want to be able to give you a psychological designation to where I just take your guns. That's what he basically said, and that's their agenda. And then Romney's like, hey, I was for a semi-auto ban, but we, the hunters got some of what they wanted. But we were friends. He's like, hey, you know, I gave you painkillers before I knocked your teeth out. You know, oh, I acted friendly. I can get things done. I can get everybody legalized, you know, and all this stuff. It's just like, oh, man. I mean, it's bad. I mean, when the so-called conservative Republican constitutionalist is what Bill Clinton was, basically, that's how they move us with the Overton window, where the so-called liberals are authoritarian, crazy, anti-human nutcases with a bunch of moron, domesticated people following them. And then you've got the Republicans that basically are like socialist. I mean, it's just like, wow, they have really taken over by controlling the choices we've got. I'm going to go out to break because I tried to play this last hour and didn't go to it on time. My fault. We'll come back and start getting into to debate clips. But here is Susan Rice, the U.S. ambassador of the U.N. She was on Face the Nation, all the shows, in the days after the September 11th Benghazi attack, that whoever staged it, false flag or whatever, and had a lot of evidence of that, it was a terror attack. It was a coordinated attack, and she said it wasn't. And they said it for, they argue, 10 days. They put a proviso in 10 days later, quietly, started saying it was a coordinated attack, an organized attack, a premeditated attack, not a protest that did this, that killed the Navy SEALs and the rest of it. Let's go to that clip and try to get it aired here as we go to break. Here it is.
Madam Ambassador, he says that this is something that's been in the planning stages for months. I understand you have been saying that you think it was spontaneous. Are we not on the same page here?
Well, Bob, let me tell you what we understand to be the assessment at present. First of all, very importantly, as you discussed with the president, there is a investigation that the United States government will launch, led by the FBI. That has begun.
But
and
they're not there.
They're not on the ground yet, but they have already begun looking at all sorts of evidence of various sorts already available to them and to us, and they will get on the ground and continue the investigation. So we'll want to see the results of that investigation to draw any definitive conclusions. But based on the best information we have to date, what our assessment is as of the present is, in fact, what it began spontaneously in Benghazi as a reaction to what had transpired some hours earlier in Cairo, where, of course, as you know, there was a violent protest outside of our embassy sparked by this hateful video. But soon after that spontaneous protest began outside of our consulate in Benghazi, we believe that it looks like extremist elements, individuals joined in that.
Okay, there you go.
That effort with
and it just goes on and on. But then Candy Kirk, though, or excuse me, Candy Crowley.
Pienso que un sueño parecido no volverá más. Y me pintaba las manos y la cara de azul. Y de provisa el viento rápida me llevó. Y me hizo volar en el cielo infinito.
Okay, this is a short segment, long segment coming up, and that's when I'm going to go to your phone calls at 800-259-9231. If you just joined us, you're listening to, well, me, Alex Jones. Websites are InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. I got a lot of other world news and things we will be getting to that are very, very important. Also, there's a list out what the historians put together in the London Independent of the richest people in history. I think that's going to be informative. I'm going to go over that. I've also got some special reports that we're going to premiere here, including Jakari Jackson's review of Black Ops 2 video game review. Why do we do that? Because it's laced with propaganda. Most people don't get their news from the news. They just sit there and are bombarded through entertainment. So that's coming up. You know, I've got, like, I don't know, five or six of these clips, and we'll play more of it coming up in the next hour. I don't even know where to start. I mean, it's all just so ridiculous. What's scary is the anti-gun stuff, and that's coming up in the next hour. We're going to play that exchange where Obama says he wants to ban your semi-autos, and Mitt Romney defends his record of supporting an assault weapons ban. It just goes from bad to worse. And it really is out of control to have the Republican candidate have such an anti-gun history. But The issue is, could he get away with pushing anti-gun as a Republican? Probably not. That's the real clincher for me last night when I looked at my wife and said, should I get behind Romney? I mean, there's election fraud anyways, because if I don't stand up against Obama, he'll probably ban guns, and then I'll wish later I'd have done something. I mean, I am just totally, I'm not normally indecisive. And I am just absolutely poleaxed here, because I know Romney's bad, but I know Obama's worse. But it's this lesser of two evils that's gotten us here, and I'm the guy that's always been against lesser of two evil garbage. We need to demand something real and move things back towards liberty, not let them move things towards tyranny. Let's play part of this clip, and I'll be talking over it. Here's the question. And the guy that asked the question thinks it's, you know, real smart to be able to ask a question. So they had a think tank brain trust come up with this question, and all the obsession over the ambassador and security and our people and acting like they care. This is Hillary that laughs about people she's killed, like Gaddafi and others. And I came, I saw, he died. Or they talk about an Iran war, her and Baker, and start laughing on the stage. You don't laugh about war, even if you're a warmonger. It's disgusting. It's like going to a funeral home and there's a dead body up front and you walk up to a family and laugh at them. It's sick. It's decadent. It's disconnected from reality, like Strauss-Kahn and devil worship orgies now in the news. These people are nuts. They're a bunch of decadent scum. I'm sorry, I'm ranting. Let's go to the clip. Here it is.
I'm sorry, what's your name?
It's Carrie Latka.
It's Carrie.
This question actually comes from a brain trust of my friends at Global Telecom Supply in Mineola yesterday.
Nice plug.
We were sitting around talking about Libya, and we were reading and became aware of reports that the State Department refused extra security for our embassy in Benghazi, Libya, prior to the attacks that killed four Americans. Who was it that denied enhanced security, and why?
Well, let me first of all talk about our diplomats, because they serve all around the world and do an incredible job in a very dangerous situation.
Here, turn him off. And these aren't just for a minute. You know, we don't know what really happened there. We don't know the news story of the Navy SEALs down the road in another mission. Well, former Navy SEALs, that means CIA, in a mission above Navy SEALs. That's just a recruiting ground at that level. So is Delta Force. There's a lot of stuff above that, as I've told you. And they're sitting there, I know, because, well, I'm not going to get into it. The point is, they're sitting there, and then they run and then have this big shootout trying to help the embassy substation, the consulate, or whatever you want to call it. We don't know if any of that's true. We've gotten like 5-6 stories, 3 of them in one day a few weeks ago. I mean, who knows if any of this is true? And who knows if people are right that it was a neocon false flag? You know, now Obama says he's going to have drones and a strike force take out Al-Qaeda. How do we know they didn't have some of their boys they brought in there over a year ago in Benghazi, the Al-Qaeda headquarters for NATO, Sarkozy and Obama? And how do we know they didn't sacrifice him with the plan to later go take out that Al-Qaeda to say, oh, look, he didn't just take out bin Laden, he took out Al-Qaeda. Yeah, Al-Qaeda, you ordered to go do it. How do we know that's not what went on? That's my point. All I know is the globalists run Al-Qaeda, and I don't need some pervs trying to grab my genitals so I can fly places. I only fly places if I absolutely have to. My children, I got a 10-year-old son, he's never flown. You know why? Because I can't let some fat guy grab on him. I will not do it, and I'm angry about it. I want my right to travel back.
Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
All right, I'll play more of the clips of this debate and the anti-gun stuff that's the biggest news out there, really. Coming up in the next hour, I want to start getting to your phone calls. Peter, Mark, James, Frankie, Frank, and many others that are patiently holding today to get on air to give us your take on what happened at the debate last night. Again, we know it's a dog and pony show, but the way they can stage it now, the way they can skew it and cheat and give Obama more time and interrupt and have the moderator agreeing with Obama authoritatively when it's a lie, it's just off the charts. The fact that we've gotten to that level. And it's just such deception now. People just tune out and say, oh, whatever, must be true. 60 million heard it. And the media is debating who was right now when it's clear Romney was right. I mean, even if you don't like Romney, you've got to admit it's a fraud and they're trying to throw this. And that's because internal polling shows, I've talked to a lot of big journalists about this who are seeing internal polling shows Obama's been behind for months. And now you see in polls Romney going ahead. He's really winning. But you see, they're going to say he's losing. So people go, well, I better get on the bandwagon and vote for a winner. Because a lot of people just vote for it's like the sports team scenario, the bandwagon scenario, where as soon as a team gets in the playoffs, everybody goes and buys their T-shirts. They don't root for the team they've loved or where they grew up or that, you know, that's their team. They just pick who they think the winner is. And we see this with Republicans as well. Just as long as somebody's a Republican, well, they must be okay then, even though they're anti-gun or anti, you know, sovereignty or pro, you know, globalist, Patriot Act, all of it. So I'm going to get to that after we take some of your calls. But again, the big news, as Joe Curl from the Washington Times talked about earlier, I was talking to him. He said, oh, yeah, Twitchy.com, all these other big sites, they're reporting on what you're reporting on as well. But because they're not really political, the George Soros crowd isn't attacking them. They see me as political, so they think they can attack me so that people then think that I'm doing this for political reasons. No, it's news. When Mitt Romney is receiving thousands of death threats a day with people saying that they are going to go find him and kill him. I mean, it's specific. And I've had Secret Service ask me what I think of Obama. And everybody knows I am not offensively violent. You attack me, you're going to get attacked in big time. But I'm trying to stop civil war. I'm trying to stop violence, believe me. I'm not stupid enough to think it's going to be fun once all this kicks off. Discretion's the greater part of valor, and it's not because I'm afraid. I know a little bit of history. I've seen a few things, and I understand rhetoric's one thing, reality is another. And I am offended. I was talking to Man Cow, Eric Mueller, on his syndicated show. A lot of the same stations pick up his show that pick up mine. And he was going, oh, yeah, he's been visited by the Secret Service as well over mild statements before. Like this world would be a better place, you know, without Bill Clinton, you know, in it. And they came and visited him. And that was, I think, a second time, wasn't it? The first time, Bill Clinton was just coming to town. And they said, you will not cover Bill Clinton. You will not talk about Bill Clinton or you're off the air. And you know what? He kept his mouth shut, but he talked about it later because he knew they could go to his employers. Folks, the Secret Service, I know somebody who has a family friend. They work at the same place that got fired because he made mild statements about Obama and somebody went and tattled on him. And they came and said, we can't arrest you for what you said, but you're ordered to fire him. And the car dealership fired the guy who'd been there for many years. And said, get your stuff and get out. So, you know what? I'm sick of this. I'm sick and tired of it, okay? I don't like the Secret Service coming here and snooping around. I don't like the FBI asking me about my film, The Obama Deception, 3 days before it was released. So we released it early. And then calling my crew members and asking, so, tell me about this film. I mean, the White House was worried about this film. They're creepy. They're in my life, and I don't like it. And then I got to have George Soros' publications saying I'm racist and bad and race-baiting because you got a bunch of people that happen to be black saying they're going to riot if Obama doesn't get reelected? When we've had riots in this country before, and there's riots all over the world about elections? I mean, here's the article. Threats to assassinate Romney explode after debate. Top story, Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.com. Here's another one. Family changes controversial Halloween display. Yeah, I've got articles where people that put chairs in their front yards are getting their windows knocked out. This is out of Colleyville. Where is Colleyville? This is CBS News story. I read it this morning, but I meant to look up where Colleyville is. These local stories torture me because I never tell where they're at. Where is Colleyville? It goes on CBS 11. Vandals destroyed a Halloween display in Colleyville that had drawn criticism for the way it mixed the holiday with the race for the White House. Less than 2 days after it was destroyed, though, dozens of people volunteered to rebuild it with a new message. And it was Biden as a clown in a spider web along with Obama. It makes me want to go put this on my house. I'm serious, because if you don't exercise the First Amendment, you lose it. Now, where is Colleyville? It didn't matter. I'm just, if one of you might know, it's driving me crazy when these local news stories never say where it is. Outside Fort Worth. Okay, yeah. Oh, yeah, I grew up in Dallas. I should have known that. There's so many towns there. I knew it sounded familiar. So this is in Texas. You can't put up a funny display. But let me tell you, the Secret Service went out and visited some guy in Austin, had a chair in his front yard, and people kept running off with the chair, so he tied it down. And they said, that's a rope. That means you want to hang Obama. Well, let's say maybe that's what it vaguely meant. It obviously wasn't a real threat. But people are on Twitter and Facebook and YouTube. We found videos now saying they're going to kill Mitt Romney. They're going to shove a gun in his mouth and spray bullets. They're going to burn stuff down. And it's like, how dare you, Alex Jones, even cover that, you filth. Look at this. Twitter may face legal action over anti-Semitic tweets. France 24 International News reporting that. And again, France has tried to shut down Yahoo before. And my issue here is we'll go under EU globalist rules. If you don't allow racist and offensive speech, you lose it all. And that's why they're trying to get us in line globally to restrict our speech here. Is because if you don't let people draw the Prophet Muhammad with a bomb on his head, if you don't let people, you know, say they don't like Jews or whatever, then you're going to lose your free speech, and it's all going to be selectively enforced. And now France is trying to change our web laws and rules with lawsuits against companies and people. The government of France. That reminds me of Bloomberg trying to sue gun manufacturers all over the country. Because he bans guns in the city, or it's been banned, makes it a happy hunting ground for criminals. So that's some of what's coming up. I'm going to go to your phone calls here. Briefly, listen, I underpromote and overdeliver most of the time. So many times I've got a bombshell article, our top story, it could be a nationwide article we've broken, story, and I won't even cover it for an hour and a half of the show because I'm so busy covering other stuff. I kind of tee up here with all this news and then just go wild into the first thing because I've already thought about it all, basically, so it's kind of like going into a window of information, like its own little world on this story or that story and how it's all interconnected. But we have lined up an unbelievable 48-hour transmission. And it starts tomorrow at 11 a.m. And I've been so busy. We normally do these 24-hour transmissions for the last 5 years and promote it a month out. I've been promoting this for about 7-8 days, really out. And I haven't even mentioned it hardly yesterday or hardly today. In fact, I hadn't mentioned it yet any today, that I'm going to come in here and do 20 hours plus over 2 days. My other guest host, surprise guest, you name it. Nightly news folks are going to be in here hosting. It is going to be amazing. You can see the full lineup at InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com. And yes, we have sponsors. We have books and videos we sell. We have subscriptions to PrisonPlanet.tv. But we've come to depend on these money bombs. And I'd like to raise $1 million. That sounds like a lot. But when you got 50-plus crew members and contractors and equipment and satellite uplinks you want to put in and all the things we've built and done here, going from 10 employees 5 years ago to over 50 now, that money is essential. We're not like NPR that begs all year. We just, Ron Paul did money bombs. People said we should do one. We started it. It helped us be confident to move into a bigger office, expand, build studios, do nightly news, all of it with your supports. And there's a lot of ways to donate. Buy books, buy videos, buy ProPure water filters, InfoWars.com, InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com. We usually start kind of promoting it a month out and usually raise about $100,000 by the day it starts. We've raised like $10,000. I haven't checked. Let's go to InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com and look. So we need to really start getting this going. I know we're in a recession / depression, but it's important if we're going to be able to confidently get the uplinks and some more of the equipment and finish some of the new sets and things to really expand in the face of the globalist. Coming up 11 a.m. tomorrow, Alex Jones News. And then an hour and a half in, Congressman Walter Jones on the election. Greg Pallas, the BBC reporter. Sean Stone, TV host himself and, of course, son of Oliver Stone, John Rappaport, Mike Adams, Webster Tarpley, George Norrie, graciously for 2 hours, host of Coast to Coast AM, James Wesley Rawls, incredible researcher and survivalist and former Army officer in Special Operations Intelligence. He'll be joining us. Linda West, one of our great reporters. Jakari Jackson, one of our great reporters. Russell Dowden, who's been a radio host in his own right, heads up the newspaper operation, the magazine operation. Dan Badondi, one of our great reporters. A Syrian girl who for 9 months has been exposing Al-Qaeda attacking her country. Rob Dude, David Icke. We'll do Alex Answers for an hour. Gerald Salente, Michael Bagnarek, Max Kaiser, Joseph Farah, Amber Lyon, the CNN whistleblower. Larry Pinkney, a real Black Panther that understands how the new Black Panthers are used to create division. John B. Wells, another great Coast to Coast guest, of course, national voice talent. Darren McBreen and Joel Gilbert, Richard Reeves, Darren McBreen, David Knight, David McBreen with Rob Jacobson. It just continues on. David Ortiz, Dan Badondi again, Paul Joseph Watson, Lord Christopher Monckton, and Joel Skousen, and more. And more. I haven't like asked some of my celebrity friends yet. I'm just so busy. I haven't had time to call him and say, hey, will you come on? I could probably call up. You know, I've got his home number. Don't even call him every few months. I'm not even going to get into it. The point is I call a lot of people. I need to do that today. The problem is I'm running around here doing stories and research and so much. And, you know, obviously I don't want to call up one of my producers call one of these big guys because they get insulted if you don't call them. I don't know what's going to... I'm going to get up off my butt and get some celebrities on as well. Though those aren't ever really that popular unless it's some big controversy, which is not my intention. But it's fun to talk to cool people that are... cool people that, you know, have that special spark. Because I found a lot of really celebrities, people that are famous, they're famous for a reason. They have, like, some type of charisma about them. InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com, and you can start donating right now, ladies and gentlemen. I'd like to raise $1 million. The most we've ever raised is $490,000. And again, the way this country works, you know, when I buy TV switching equipment that costs, you know, $50,000, I get to pay taxes on it each year to the stinking abortion hospital district where I live here in Austin. It's all sorts of, you know how it is with the taxes. You know what it's like. So again, it's free association. We're not the government that takes money from you at gunpoint and then uses it against you. We're just free association. You want to support us? InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com once a year. And also you want to support us. Call up if you're a local business and sponsor that local AM or FM station or support the sponsors that are on that station. Don't just call them. Go in and buy something from them. Spread the word about the show. That is an incredibly important way to support getting the word out as well. So that's part of the Money Bomb is support. Hey, give a donation to your local station, even if, you know, to a local talk station. That's what it is to support freedom. Even if you don't think, you know, go tailor an advertising package. Even if it's small, that is a way to donate. Okay? Let's go to Peter in Switzerland, listening via InfoWars.com. Peter, thank you for holding while I've been ranting. Did you watch the debate, or what are you calling about today?
Well, Alex, I have to make an observation. You've been telling us for years that the left-right paradigm is false. You've been telling us for years that there's no difference between the Republicans and the Democrats, yet you wasted 90 minutes of this program to do a he said, she said on this debate. I think you should have just ignored it completely.
No, I hear you, but I've admitted that's I'm always so decisive. I'm being honest, though. My honesty is all I've got. Because I can't, I mean, look how fast I get up to the news and the info. I'm not calculating all this out. I'm telling you what's in my heart. I wear it on my sleeve. And it's not like it's staged and they're in a back room going, hey, let's do this. I think there have been some presidential elections like that, Kerry and Bush to a certain extent. I think Kerry laid down, and I pointed that out. It's just that within the facet, it was completely rigged. And so my question is, why do they not want Romney in there? I mean, why is Bain Capital giving more money to Obama than Mitt Romney? I'm asking that question. I'm saying, is Obama so bad? And listen, I'm not going to vote. So, you know, whatever happens, I'm just saying we're in trouble here. I mean, I'm just kind of thinking aloud. I don't think we wasted time. I think it's important to explain to people that, you know, that's not what you call a real debate. I mean, that's how bad our presidential system's gotten. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think it's irrelevant to analyze what took place because what it sounds like is that you're backhandingly endorsing Mitt Romney.
Well, no, I didn't do it backhanded. I'm admitting that it's backhanded. I mean, I said that. I'm being completely honest. You heard me say, I looked at my wife and I said, my gosh, Obama just said he's going to come for our guns. And Romney says he won't. I mean, I'm like, whoa, is it immoral to just sit here and say they're both the same? Because, yes, the left-right paradigm is how they manipulate us between the left and right, and so things never change. I get that. But within the left-right paradigm, within the box, it's a very complex philosophical and geopolitical question. So you're on the air. You weren't screened when you came on. I appreciate your question. What do you think we should be covering? I did cover Israel saying they may strike Syria. This is serious.
I think the interesting thing about the Rothschild family is much more interesting than this dog and pony show, as you referred to it. Why not talk about that?
I am going to get to it. In fact, I did talk about that. I've talked about a bunch of other stuff and tied it into, you know, when I started talking about the debate in Al-Qaeda and the Benghazi attack, I did a whole, you know, 20-minute breakdown or so about Al-Qaeda being run by the West. I mean, I beat that to death. I mean, I didn't really just cover the debate in the last hour and a half, my friend. But I do get your criticisms. And I was criticizing myself. I never am indecisive. I'm too decisive sometimes. And I am just absolutely floored right now. And I'm being honest with you. So, I mean, what do I do? That's what my gut says. Just whatever happens, it's going to be horrible. And so don't endorse either one and just keep exposing the New World Order. I said that earlier. Just expose the actual puppet masters, not the puppets. I mean, do you think that's the course to take?
I absolutely think that's the course to take. And I think anything else is a waste of your precious energy.
Hey, what are you doing in Switzerland? Are you from Switzerland?
I'm in a naturalized Swiss citizen.
Do you like it over there?
Sure do.
I hear it's awesome. I've never been there. My wife likes it. Maybe I'll run to Switzerland. I'm joking, folks. Actually, I think about it every day. All right, we'll be right back. More of your calls straight ahead. I'm not going anywhere, folks. Okay?
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show. Because there's a war on for your mind.
Caller is right at an academic level. That's what the whole left-right thing is, where the globalists control both parties. I was just talking about that. And then the so-called left leads us closer to tyranny. And then when the right gets in, they lead us closer to tyranny. And it's becoming more and more clear. My only issue is we're 20 days away from this election. And I haven't even gotten to this yet. I mean, it is big news that Obama said, yeah, he wants to ban semi-autos. That's what he's proposing. In his second term, he won't be facing a re-election. He has executive orders. Congress wouldn't do the cybersecurity takeover. He says he's signing an executive order. So we need to really think this out. That's all I'm saying. Because the United States is basically the engine of the New World Order right now. Let's go to James in Illinois listening on XM 166, XM radio. Then we'll go to Frankie on 880 and had another caller listening on an FM. But go ahead. You're on the air, James.
Yeah, I've got three points I want to make with you and then have you pick them apart, if you will, on last night's debate. Did you notice in the gun discussion that Mitt Romney made the mention of Fast and Furious, and Candy Crowley jumped in and said, I think I heard her say specifically Fast and Furious had nothing to do with guns.
Yes. In fact, that's the exchange I have that I meant to get to this hour, but I'm so long-winded I haven't played it yet. I've got that whole clip that I will play. You guys have got to make me play that. Let's say bottom of the hour, next hour I'll do it and analyze it because it was bad. And that's when I looked at my wife. That was near the end of the debate. And I said, lesser of two evils. Yeah, but at least he brought up Fast and Furious. And he's not going to be able to go after our guns as a Republican. It just doesn't fly. And I said, wow, if we stay out of this, Obama may actually send cops to take our guns. And I'm like, I guess we just say bring it on? Or do we try to go with the lesser of evils? And my wife, you know, who's not Republican or Democrat, she's a constitutionalist, she was dumbfounded, too. But, I mean, obviously, she saw they were rigging it against... she hasn't liked Mitt Romney. She said he's like a charming vampire. But she was hating on Obama by the end just because it was so rigged. I'm being sucked into it all because it is fake. It is a fraud, but it'll tear your arm off. You know, like we're in this paradigm. We're in this matrix. I know it's a matrix, but if we totally divorce ourselves from it, then we have no power. Because the public's so dumbed down. They give the power to it. Doesn't matter if we're awake, because they aren't awake. So the answer is wake them up, I guess. I just am so disgusted by how openly evil the agenda is of Obama. Go ahead, sir.
Well, just on that point that you just made about the public being dumbed down and us being awake, I think this comment by Obama that was made about the $1.86 a gallon of gas, where he said that the reason that it was that low when he got in office was because we were in a recession. So therefore, in his words, a better economy means more expensive gas.
Yeah, they're going to start selling the idea of hyperinflation being good.
Anybody with basic economic knowledge, basic math knowledge, knows that the laws of supply and demand, the more that you have of something, lower prices are, so people buy more. I mean, that's basic economic knowledge.
No.
Mitt Romney knows all about that.
No, no, you're absolutely right. Yeah, yeah. And by the way, Obama has offshore accounts, too. I mean, again, you're absolutely right. What was your other point?
Okay, the third thing I have, and this is a question I have, because I see it on Facebook and everywhere. Everybody keeps debating that a vote for Ron Paul, who I personally voted for, is a vote for Obama. Now, my question on this is if Ron Paul was in the Republican Party...
Hold on, I want to hear this question, but regardless of where you stand on it, a vote for Ron Paul is a vote for Barack Obama at this point.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Yeah, I'm the guy that preaches lesser of two evils is what's gotten us here by allowing these candidates to always be globalists, just a right-wing or left-wing version. My issue is Obama is so bad and is moving so quick. Is that because the globalists are in high gear? Or is it because Obama has such a group of radicals around him who are implementing the globalist agenda in a very communist way? And would Mitt Romney be worse? That's why I can't say vote for Mitt Romney, because I know he's a liar. I know he's lied and flip-flopped. So I'm not going to be conned. I get all that. I'm just saying, at an intellectual level, I'm freaked out by Barack Obama. And the people that are behind him. I mean, and I didn't like Herman Cain either, you know. I would vote for a black guy who was pro-liberty in 0 seconds, instantly. And again, the media says, well, if you don't vote for Obama, you're racist. I mean, I'm just so tired of it. I just want freedom. And let me tell you, what Obama's pushing is not freedom. Dr. Paul Craig Roberts got an article out today called Rest in Peace USA up at Infowars.com. And he goes over the death panels that are in there. I mean, there really are death panels by another name. But a rose is still a rose by any other name. William Shakespeare. A death panel is still a death panel by any other name. And I you know, it's just horrible. And Mitt Romney, quote, wrote Obamacare. No, he didn't. That's what the insurance companies wrote. And he got it in Massachusetts. And so they went to Obama and said, do this. That's how much trouble we're in, because these guys are puppets and you're going to get a globalist agenda. So, yes, I get they're both bad. That's why I don't support either one of them. It's just that I've had the Secret Service and FBI visit me when I criticize Obama. And then now they can sit there and say, kill Mitt Romney, and nobody gets in trouble. There's a double standard. And I've been thrown in with the Republicans regardless by the George Soros crowd who attacks me constantly, and the ADL and the Southern Poverty Law Center. Do people get that? Be like if drones were flying around from Russia and, you know, were dropping bombs on me. It's like they're targeting me. They see me as their enemy because I am pro-gun, pro-liberty, pro-family. So because the Republicans act like they're for that, I've been put in that camp. Can anyone understand that? That's the issue. I've been put in the camp with the Republicans because I've supported Ron Paul and others. So I'm here being attacked, even though I'm not with the Republicans. So I'm out here in the open being attacked by a giant political machine. I'm sorry I'm ranting. Sir, get to your Ron Paul point. Yes, the debate. Technically, almost everyone that's going to vote for Ron Paul would be a Republican usually. So yes, people writing in Ron Paul will basically could be the deciding factor of putting Obama into office. And part of me says, good, bring it on. Let's really see what communism and globalism is. Does that answer your question, sir?
Not really, because if Ron Paul was a Republican when he was on the ballot, why wouldn't those votes count as Republican based and go to Mitt Romney? Why would they go to Obama? They're totally against the Democratic
Party. No. I'm not a good communicator. I thought you were saying writing in. If you write in Ron Paul and don't vote for one of the candidates, then generally, you know, I agree with you. Most Ron Paul voters would be a Republican. And so if they write in Ron Paul, that's a vote for Obama because it's a wasted Republican vote.
But that doesn't make any sense. That's what I'm saying. It's Republican. It should go to Republican. Why is it a wasted vote? We're supporting a Republican.
Because you have to, because it has to be a name on the ballot.
It still doesn't make sense. That's what I don't get. And everybody's going up in arms about a vote for Ron Paul is a vote for Obama.
But, sir, the vote will just be thrown out because he's not officially on the ballot. You only get one vote unless you're a Democrat. Do you understand that? If you're not a Democrat who gets to vote five or six times, only a Democrat could vote for Ron Paul and still vote for Obama.
Crashing through the lies and disinformation, it's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us. I'm your host, Alex Jones. And it is Wednesday, the 17th day of October, 2012. We're continuing here in this hour with your phone calls, giving us your take on the debate last night, and just the fact that it was rigged in every way. The questions that Aleister Crowley was asking, what's that lady's name? The CNN witch? I'm sorry, I'm being mean. Candy Aleister Crowley. I thought for a minute she was Mr. Maddow. I mean, Rachel Maddow, or what's his name? Raymond Maddow. Hardball, hard slime. Okay, I'm absolutely out of control here. It made me sick. I don't like rigged things, and that's why I don't watch professional heavyweight boxing matches. And I like real things, and that was disgusting. I mean, you've got the flip-flopping fraud Romney, and then it just gets worse from there. You've got Obama and CNN and the rigging and the erasing history and saying they never said it wasn't a terror attack, the Benghazi killing of the ambassador. And then they just heaped layer after layer. They were gaming things so much and things were so scripted. It was a bunch of fits and starts and halting, just ugly. And you heard a caller earlier, if you just tuned in the last 20 minutes or so, he said, Alex, we don't want to hear about this. It's a diversion. It's a distraction. And I hear you. But we're still in the middle of this. And my point is, this is what the reality show has become. The political reality show has become quite a joke. I'm going to go back to your calls, and then I will get into that article I mentioned about the richest man in the world. The richest man in history has been announced, and the Rothschilds are right underneath him, so we're going to be breaking that down, as I promised, at the bottom of the hour. Briefly here, if you're radio listeners, go up to InfoWars.com. You can see some of the cool time-lapse videos the crew did. If you're watching us right now at InfoWarsNews.com or PrisonPlanet.tv, we're going to roll one of the little time-lapses of the ACL Fest they had here in Austin, Texas this weekend, big rock concert, and we had the crew go out and put out close to 1,000 of some of the magazines. We're getting close to running out now, the October issue, and we were putting them on the street. So, again, here's that time lapse. And you can order these. These are a message in the bottle. That's why these magazines are so incredibly important, is that they are messages in a bottle about information people have never gotten from the controlled left and the controlled right, covering the global crime syndicate, covering their police state takeover program. It is all there in the magazine. Our second issue has come out. You can get a subscription with the shipping included. And you can give these out to friends and family. You can also buy them in bulk. You can buy, 10 of them for $14.95. And it gets even more discounted when you get 100 of them. And that is at our cost. We've now come out with a second issue in glossy. And it covers the technocracy, the NSA spying, the police state. It's got a big color giant poster inside of it in the center spread. Great to hang up in legal and lawful areas in your town to awaken people. Will humanity survive the singularity? It's just absolutely jam-packed. And the next issue is going to be even more powerful. So support the broadcast, but more importantly, get the word out today and give these to people. So many people ignore internet links or internet videos now because there's such a wash of them. But if you will simply go out and give friends and family and others these magazines, they are unlike any magazine you've ever read. And again, I liken them to messages in a bottle. That's why I put 50,000 out in the streets of where I live, Austin, Texas, and then keep another 50,000 for you listeners. And we have, now it's over 70 different franchise groups that have contacted us when we go into phase two soon of having it printed with local news in it, but also our national and international coverage in your area. Everywhere from Europe to Australia, from the Middle East to Africa to Latin America to Canada, all over, people are planning on putting out their own version of InfoWars magazine. So it's just in its embryonic form right now, and I want to thank everybody for supporting it, because in month two, it has broken even. And my goal is to build it where it breaks even so I can reach the maximum number of people and keep them inexpensive. But the goal with the franchise is to make it profitable. And we can punch a button now and make it profitable right away. So that's what we're developing and demonstrating. So please take advantage of it at InfoWarsStore.com or 888-253-3139. It is so important to get InfoWars magazine. Read it and then give it to others, or buy it at cost in bulk. Or do one order and get 13 issues delivered to your home, because we're going to give you the first issue. We save some back along with the next 12. So it'll always be 13 issues you get for the cost of 12, shipping included. InfoWarsStore.com or 888-253-3139. All right, enough of me ranting about that. Let's go ahead and talk to Mark in Ohio. Then we'll go to Frankie listening on 880 and others. Mark, thanks for holding her on the air.
Well, Alex, this is such a pleasure to be able to be on your show. Thank you very much. I'm in the epicenter of all this nonsense. I'm in Toledo, Ohio, and they have a big red X, Romney and Obama. They visit here nonstop. About 45 minutes from Detroit, where they hang all the signs, you can't go in at your own risk, and I'm about 2 hours from Chicago. So we're in the middle of all this nonsense. I absolutely disgusted from last night's display of what happened. It was our president got caught in a flat-out lie on stage live, and they're going back and saying he won the whole thing.
Yeah, that's how fraud works. And again, that's why I'm covering it. The level of dissembling, deception, manipulation has reached just cartoon level in every way. I mean, how much more crazy can it get? On top of it, the Al-Qaeda, they say, killed this guy, was put in there by Obama, by the globalists, by NATO. That's not even being discussed.
They completely avoid the whole thing, along with the when Romney brought up the whole gun situation, everything. Obama still wanted to keep talking about education for the kids, and I'm sitting there thinking, whoa, wait a minute. He completely railroaded it and went off on some other tangent talking about.
And Aleister Crowley in drag, the moderator, also, that's what she looks like, literally. In fact, we ought to do a side-by-side Aleister Crowley with a black wig on. Ask the graphics folks to do that next to Candy Crowley. I'm not knocking folks the last name Crowley, but come on. I mean, she acts like Aleister Crowley. But I just like having fun with this. The point is that it's disgusting. I get angry at people that try to engage in chicanery and manipulation of our electoral process. But again, it's frauds within scams, within lies, within deceptions. But I am glad Romney brought up Fast and Furious. That was one of the few good things he did. But wasn't it creepy? I'm going to play it later when he was defending his assault weapons ban business in Massachusetts.
Yeah, absolutely. Have you heard anything about Jill Stein being arrested last night from the Green Party?
Yes, I have that in my stack. That always happens. They're always arresting people. They arrested Alan Keyes one time, and they've arrested anybody that tries to show up who should be in there. You know, Green Party gets about 1% of the vote, but I really think the Libertarians should be in there. I mean, that's a real party, and if they ever got in there, they know most Americans in polls actually call themselves Libertarians. Did you know, I've seen a bunch of big polls last year, you can look these up yourself, that Libertarians are now the majority. People will vote Democrat or Republican, but they call themselves Libertarians. If you give somebody the real Libertarian spiel, there's almost no one out there who won't agree with it. Plus, it really works. I appreciate your call. Great points. Let's talk to Frankie in Arkansas, listening on the big 880 AM KLRG. You're on the air, Frankie.
Hi, Alex. Thank you so much for taking my call. I'm a first-time caller. And, yes, I did listen to the debate last night. And I thought they played patty cake a whole lot. And me, it looked like he had swallowed with helium gas, and Obama looked at a seedy smile and a beady hawk eye. I thought it was staged, and I thought Candy was a bit biased. But with the truth, and I don't think either one of them are actually really capable of. I think they're capable of telling the truth, but you cannot tell the truth and have supporters. So I think they're both puppets. Run by the puppeteers, and but the people that are looking for truth, like me, I mean, I have to search. I have to search for truth because it doesn't. It's just not out there.
Well, I agree with your point that the reason Mitt Romney has to sit there and endorse the welfare state in the last debate and argue with Obama on how many goodies he'll give out is because the American people, to a great extent, have become domesticated and dependent, and they want to hear about the goodies they're going to get. And that's a scary thing. We're going to go the way of Venezuela if that continues.
Well, I know God's word says that when you want wisdom, you go out and you look for it. Wisdom is there. Truth is there. But it's going to come to you after you seek it.
You know what? Stay there. I don't want to cut you short with just a minute and a half. You've been holding a while. I'm going to come back to you quickly to finish you on other points you've got after the break. Frankie in Arkansas. Then we're going to go to Frank in North Carolina, Derek Lance, and many, many others that are patiently holding. And then I'm going to get into more of the debate clips on the gun grabbing issue.
Look at your women crying, look at your young men dying, the way they've always done before.
Okay, let's try to hurry and go through your calls ahead of getting into the most frightening thing Obama talked about, going after our guns in the so-called debate last night. Let's go to Frankie in Arkansas. Ma'am, finishing up your points, I hope you found truth here, because we tell you what we're really thinking and we wear our heart on our sleeve, as I said earlier. That's why we have, you know, complex debates. We don't try to just dumb it down like a lot of mainstream media does. We believe the people can hear complex ideas and different perspectives and then come up with the answer for our society. But any other points you'd like to make?
No, other than the fact that I put a lot of my daily decisions and future plans on your radio station because I hear the truth. Gerald Celente, some of your other speakers, I just thoroughly enjoy them, and I thank you so much for taking these people and put them on your show so they can share with your viewers what they think about the economy and the political realm. And
you know, I have to say, I think Gerald Celente is probably, on average, the most popular guest we have on. My mom loves him. Everybody I know loves Gerald Celente because he's real. Even if you don't agree with everything he says, he's real. He's really talking to you and not playing games. And that's what people are starving for. That's what I'm starving for. Thanks for calling. Let's go ahead. And hey, if you like what you're hearing here on local stations, spread the word, folks. That's so important. We're in a fight against tyranny. And believing that it's unstoppable is what's going to let it win. We've actually got the power. The globalists have a bunch of mindless, dumbed-down idiots following them who are domesticated, or a bunch of crooks. Let's identify these people, discredit them, and take our country back. Let's talk to Frank in North Carolina, listening on an iPhone, free iPhone app. Welcome, sir.
Hello. Thanks, Alex, for taking my call. First-time caller. Been listening to you about 12 years, though.
Thank you.
One of my great concerns is I've listened to you and several other folks who are very credible speak of the problems we have. I've read Lindsay Williams' first book in 1982, and I've kind of been tuned into that since. My fear is this. I have actually witnessed when someone is being attacked on the street and people roll up the window in their car, turn up their radio, don't go to the window in their apartment, hoping that they won't hear it anymore. And I get the feeling in this country that that's beginning to happen. Not beginning, it has been happening, and it's continuing to happen, but the screaming on the street and the attack is getting louder, and they're still turning up the radio.
Wow.
And because of that, I know it probably sounds almost harebrained. I have conceived of an approach that I think could work. I don't know that it would. I don't even know that the heart of the people is there, but I think it the only way to actually retrieve our republic, or we take it back.
Well, I want to hear your idea, but it's funny. I'm writing an article in the next few days about turning point, tipping point, and I was going to use exactly what you talked about, examples in the news where a woman's being raped. You know, there was a case in Toronto in front of hundreds of people, business people, and they watched it as entertainment out their window. And the manager said, don't call the cops, you know, get back to work. And it's the violent video games, the culture, death is funny. People on talk radio now, the trendies, I hear it make fun of cripples and people. I mean, it's really sick to get us to where everything's just entertainment and we're totally dehumanized so the globalists can run over us. And it's done on purpose. And they had a case, you know, a few years ago where an Austin cop got run over on a major side street, and literally hundreds of cars drove by for an hour, and no one helped as he rolled around bleeding to death. And there's just so many examples of that. And I'm not saying I'm a great guy, and I'm going to hold you over to finish your point or get back to you here, but while this thought's clear, I mean, I told the story of walking out of the bathroom. I heard screaming, my wife and my son. This is so long ago. It was like 9 years ago. He was a baby. And I hear yelling, so I walk out, and this has been going on for a couple of minutes. And the woman was choking, turning blue over on the table, and everyone was standing around like birds going, 911, 911, 911, literally chirping 911. And I walked over and I said, do the Heimlich. Anybody know how to do that? And everybody's like, 911, wait for the ambulance. And I said, no, she'll be dead by then. Let me in there. Are you trained in that? And I said, yes. Start pushing in, but And they were like, and then as soon as I saved her, then I was the hero, but I got out of there because they probably want to sue me or something. But she was big. I had to really get in there to get the food out of her. And the point is that that's not heroic to save some woman. They were all going to stand there, like 25 of them.
you could accept the fact that this city is headed for a disaster of biblical proportion.
What do you mean, biblical?
What he means is Old Testament, Mr.
Yes.
Mayor. Real wrath of God type stuff.
Exactly.
Fire and brimstone coming down from the skies. Rivers and seas boiling.
40 years of darkness, earthquakes, volcanoes.
The dead rising from the grave.
Human sacrifice, dogs and cats living together. Mass hysteria.
I have sworn upon the altar of God eternal hostility against every form of tyranny over the mind of man. Thomas Jefferson. Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
All right, Lance, Paleo, Derek, Kalen. Frank, we're getting to you. Just briefly finishing my story here. Time and time again in my life, I've seen somebody getting mugged, or I've seen a car flip and run off in the ditch, and seen cars ahead of me not help, so I pull over and help them. And it's not because I'm some goody two-shoot. That's a normal thing to do, is to help somebody. But I don't tell the story properly. When I walk out and this woman's choking, starting to fall over the table, and I'm waiting, going, somebody do the Heimlich. And they're literally going, we're calling 911, 911, 911. I mean, just like parrots. 911, 911, 911, but not in the parrot voice. It was like, 911, 911. Men and women, just men all ninnying around, all wimpily. And it was a jammed, 7 o'clock at night, La Madeleine French restaurant. Okay. So we're in there, and I have to push them out of the way. They're getting mad. They're yelling at me while I'm doing it. I do the Heimlich, save her, big thing of bread down her throat. She's falling back, getting air. I mean, she was going to die. She would have died before the police got there. Maybe a cop was 2 minutes away. He might have got in there and done the Heimlich. They go, oh, he's wearing a uniform. Well, it's okay for him to do it. But the point is, and I, took a Heimlich course or whatever, one of those basic day courses when I was on swim team back in Dallas. But I'm not some hero for doing that. It's this idea that you don't get involved. I mean, if I see people robbing my neighbor's house, that's actually kind of, I'm not excited about it, but I mean, I'm going to go pull out my Reaper 308 rifle and I'm going over there. And if they don't get down on the ground and they've got a weapon, they're dead. I mean, I'll kill you. I mean, it's real simple. And it's not because I'm looking to kill people. I've got an instinct, though, that somebody's threatening me, somebody's robbing me, switch is flipped. Now I'm meet Mr. Killer. And it's not that it's bad to be a killer. It's bad to be a killer that hurts innocent people. See, I'm a loving person, so I have a killer switch I can throw. And you've all got that switch. It's just been engineered out of you. I've also got my fight tyrant switch. I've got my resistance switch. And that's what I've been flipping here. Okay? And I'm now ranting, sir, you're absolutely right. I'm writing an article about this. This is at the heart of it. It's so funny you called in. Well, it's not funny. It's providence that everything is about this helplessness, this spectator mode of just, because I see it in the news all the time where a woman's choking. They let her die waiting for the ambulance. Or the cops are so dumbed down, like the public, that they go to the house. The people call 911. He's falling down. He's having a seizure. Cop car comes. They get there first. Stop moving. He is not moving. Taser him, Bob. Hey, he's having a seizure. He's unconscious, idiots. Again, I mean, it's so scary how dumb the public is, how dumb many of the police are, how dumb. I'm ranting and I've got calls in this clip I've got to get to. Sir, give us your idea along those lines. I just can't wait to hear it. Frank in North Carolina.
That's right. Alex, thank you. And I will try and talk quickly. The thing is that so many people have been jaded now against becoming involved, and that has gone very deep inside them. So they have really cloistered themselves away from the public. I mean, I was going to give mouth to mouth, and someone says, well, what if he's got something? I said, well, God can protect you from infections, but save the man's life. Anyway.
Back and tell your story. You said you saw someone being attacked and no one would help them. They were rolling up their windows.
Yeah. Well, I did see that, but I'm afraid I'll run out of time. I wanted to tell you what my thoughts were on how to take back the Republic.
Sure. I mean, I'll Hello? Just add, I'm listening. Go ahead.
So anyway, one of the things that happened is I was out on the road. This elderly couple was hit by a tank truck, and there was fuel all around the car, and the husband was standing out mesmerized around the car. And everybody was standing there saying, you know, oh, what if it catches it? But nobody even walked in to help them. And I got out of the car, and not because I'm a hero, but I ran in, got them, and walked them out. I didn't really take the time to think about it because they're human life. And
exactly. And the jellyfish that think they're protected because they don't get involved politically, they don't speak up at the PTA. You know, the smart money now is on not getting involved. But when everybody does that, you lose the whole society. That's the great danger. It's like I said yesterday, if you're willing to give up your life for freedom, you're probably not going to have to give it up. But when you're willing to give up nothing, you're going to get slavery. And again, a nation of sheep will be ruled by wolves. Go ahead and finish your story now. What's the political idea?
Well, I know it's crazy, but...
No, tell me the idea. Tell me the idea.
Okay. If I think the only way to take back the republic is constitutionally speaking, because why do something without it remaining within the Constitution as we want to stand for? And that's going to be through our governors and our local sheriffs. I think most people do not perceive that it's bad enough that we could lose this country like in the movie America from 1987.
Oh, exactly. No, it's going to happen with Chris Christopherson. That's the globalist plan. And all these people think, keeping their head down. I heard an ad for a big Texas bank yesterday on the radio that said, you work hard, you keep your head down politically. You know, we're a Texas bank. Good job keeping out of things. You just make money. And it's like this attitude, because it's not just cowards. There's so many men I talk to that go, you're not going to change anything. Just make money. Hey, idiot, you're not going to have a country to spend that money in or a future if you don't get involved now. I agree with you, sir. This is dangerous. So what's your idea? Tell us, what do you say to people?
If we got the governors to come together, some wouldn't want to, but there's a lot of peer pressure there, and we formed a committee with a chair, and the committee and the chair said, we have got to take this to the military and to Washington. And what they would do is they would then go, each governor could call all those county sheriffs together for a meeting and say, look, we will, in such and such a day, 2 days, 3 days from now, we will be approaching the military, and we are going to take back this country, and you need to, each one of you, tell the people in your county that they need to contact their family in the military. You either stand for this country or you're not family. And because we are losing it and it's going down the tubes, and when it's all gone,
I agree.
Oh, I didn't know it was that
bad. Oh, I agree. It's now time when people make fun of you or family about this. Hey, how about you never talk to me again? This is that important. And I'm not saying break up families. Either forgive your family, let them be idiots, don't try to sell them on freedom, but if they want to get nasty with you because you care and they act like that's bad, well, those aren't people you want to be around anyways. That's not family. But listen, let me expand on this. What you're talking about is what the John Warner Defense Authorization Act is set up to stop. And that's Bush, by the way, because they're all just puppets. At that level, the John Warner Defense Authorization Act of 2007 sets up Homeland Security to take over the states with the Army if the governors or legislatures are in insurrection. Well, the governors and legislature can't be in insurrection. They created the federal government. The federal government itself has been taken over by the globalist. They brag it's a coup d'etat over America. First issue of the magazine covers that. The economic collapse one, October issue, or the September issue, excuse me. And that's what the whole art, they know that that's one of the few shots we've got because it could be legitimately done. What do we follow? A Bill of Rights Constitution. We get back to that. And if you send the message that people are going to stand up, others will join us. This is also the type of thing that you know, really is dangerous to even be pushing because it is the solution. And you've got to, you know, just basically word to word, hey, we need to have an emergency committee to save the republic, and governors that understand it and who aren't globalist controlled need to stand up and say, you've got your fake governor's council of 10 over the 10 regions. This is the real governor's council. And we understand that everything's going to collapse, even corrupt governors. You know, they're not going to have a seat at the table. This is a bad thing we're going into. Even evil people need to understand this is not a good road for anybody except for the very, very top globalists who serve something so dark, you know, it's hard to even describe or quantify. That is the solution. It is the states. It is people getting aggressive politically at city council, county commissioners, state houses, talk radio. People are getting aggressive. They're putting this show on all over the country, station owners and people, because they realize, wow, this guy really knew what he was talking about. We are in deep trouble. Yeah, I'm not glad I've been proven right. I just got a big chill right there thinking about how much trouble we're in, brother. So everybody should put forward their own plans of how to organize to just basically have like a new Declaration of Independence by the states. And I appreciate your call, sir. That's how I would do it, is we need to have a conclave or a meeting, just as the 13 states did, a new Continental Congress, a states emergency Congress. That's what I'd call it, a states emergency Congress, to go, okay, here's all the mainstream news saying the federal government's been conquered by foreign banking cartels. Their plan is to shut us down financially, to consolidate us further. We are under economic warfare, a new type of modern war. We need to identify this new enemy attack. We need to be. We need to understand it's the Federal Reserve. We need to offer people in the Fed governors who want to defect to the Republic, because a lot of them got recruited and aren't pure evil themselves. You need to choose which side you're on right now, and we're getting rid of this. And then make declarations. Folks, Texas tried to say we're not going to let TSA stick their hands down people's pants. And the feds 2 years ago said, we're going to have an armed aircraft blockade by the U.S. Air Force and shoot down aircraft that try to come into Texas. That was in the news. That's Homeland Security, folks. That Homeland Security represents the foreign banks. I mean, we're getting down to the real heart now. And they know that's where this is going in Obama's second term, is secession. I'm not saying secession, restoring the Republic. They're going to call that secession, though. That's why they're billing him as Abraham Lincoln and selling a new civil war, which they're going to have the military and police start with veterans. And they're going to call those of us that don't hand in our guns terrorists. I've already seen the whole war game laid out. I've reconstructed it from different pieces. And now we're dead sure that's one of their major plans. They've got some other sick avenues. It's kind of like those books that can have three or four different endings. You've seen those. Books that can have a bunch of different endings. Yeah, choose your own adventure. It starts one way, and they got two or three different things they can do. And I'm telling you, folks, they're taking us down something that's not an adventure. It's a nightmare. And it's time for everybody just to choose where they stand. And the reason I get chills when I think about this is it's real, and my nervous system is like, hey, get ready. My brain's like, you know, get on edge. You're in danger. Because when I step into these points and make these points, it puts me directly under the eye of Sauron. I mean, they do not like what I'm talking about right now. Okay, so I know I'm putting my life on the line when I even talk about things like this, because this is a real takeover. These people do not play games. They put Al-Qaeda into North Africa just to take over and let them line up black people and machine gun them by the tens of thousands. I mean, these people laugh on TV about new wars they're going to start and get crazy looks in their eyes. These are crazy people. Crazy, power-mad demons that are in control. And what do we have to lose? It's just going to get worse if they're in charge. They're not going to stop till we have World War III with the Russians. I'm telling you, folks, these people have to be stopped. The globalists, the New World Order, the eugenicists are crazy. Their New World Order is crazy. It's straight from the pits of hell. Okay? Literally. 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 Let's start. I'm going to have to skip this network break. I shouldn't do this. I do this almost every day. And, you know, the network hardly turns a profit, and so do I. And it's got the money bomb tomorrow, and our sponsors are all great. eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. You know, get six free meals to test them out if you want. All the InfoWarsStore.com, all of it. But I've got to start getting to this gun thing, as I said I would. It's like 8-9 minutes long. I'm trying to play it all. But here is the whole exchange on Fast and Furious, and then both of them with their anti-gun agenda, and Obama saying he does want to ban your semi-autos. That's what assault weapons ban is. And wants to designate you psychologically bad to take your guns. So, you know, for me, this is the one point where I was like, well, at least Romney says he's not coming for my guns now. Even though I probably can't believe him, he can be held to that commitment. But Obama's telling me he's coming for my guns, and I'm going to just stay out of this. And maybe we should. Maybe it just get Obama in there and just let him try to take the country over. If I was the police and military, I'd be asking myself one thing. Are you ready for this civil war? Because they're going to send you in against people, and they're going to have, you know, blowing up farmhouses and shooting people, and, yeah, these terrorists got it. you're going to be able to wipe out the first groups of patriots you go after. But then people aren't going to be waiting for you at their houses. They're going to come after you. And I know you're training for that. I mean, you really want a bunch of global banker collectivist criminals to have you start a civil war in America? This is really what you want. You really want to sign on with the devil. Because I'm telling you, folks, that's where this is headed. This isn't a game. Let's go ahead and start going to the clip. Here's the out-of-control, domesticated woman who thinks guns are bad in the hands of the citizens. Here it is.
President Obama, during the Democratic National Convention in 2008, you stated you wanted to keep AK-47s out of the hands of criminals. What has your administration done or planned to do?
This is what I'll never get to the 8 or 9 minutes. Maybe I should do on the nightly news tonight. It's all baloney. Or during the money bomb tomorrow that starts, 48-hour broadcast. They're not AK-47s, moron. They're semi-automatic variants. And by the way, that's good they're semi-auto. Your obsession with full auto. They're not AK-47s. They're semi-automatic versions. And most crimes aren't committed with those. By the way, Obama says that. He says he wants the handguns. Yeah, I know you want the handguns. Harder to get those away from people at checkpoints. Let's go ahead and go back to this.
To limit the availability of assault weapons.
You know, we're a nation that believes in the Second Amendment.
And I pause again. Back it up. Every bit of it's bull. You believe in the Second Amendment. Kind of like he said he believes in small businesses when he says you didn't build that. But their new argument is the Second Amendment means you turn your guns in. Go back to it. I'm sorry. Go back to it.
You know, we've got a long tradition of hunting and sportsmen.
It's not about hunting. You know that, liar.
People who want to make sure they can protect themselves. But there have been too many instances during the course of my presidency where I've had to comfort
people can't protect themselves in Chicago or New York where you took their guns.
Most recently, out in Aurora.
Oh, you know, yeah, that thing you staged?
A couple of weeks ago, actually.
You don't fool me.
I saw a mother who I had met at the bedside of her son.
Could these people be any more sheep-like when you watch video of them?
And her son had been shot through the head. And we spent some time and we said a prayer.
Oh, a prayer.
And remarkably, about 2 months later, this young man and his mom showed up. And he looked unbelievable.
Now he's manipulating Christians. What are you, Benny Hinn?
But there were a lot of families who didn't have that good fortune. And whose sons or daughters or husbands didn't survive. So my belief is that, A, we have to enforce the laws we've already got, make sure that we're keeping guns out of the hands of criminals.
By shipping them to Mexico?
Mentally ill. We've done a much better job in terms of background checks, but we've got more to do when it comes to enforcement. But I also share your belief that weapons that were designed for soldiers in war theaters don't belong on our streets.
Oh, really? We need warfare
so
weapons. That's what the founders said.
What I'm trying to do is to get a broader conversation about how do we reduce the violence generally. Part of it is
these control freaks hate the fact that we have firearms and they can't do it just like they did in Russia.
But part of it is also looking at other sources of the violence. Because, frankly, in my hometown of Chicago, there's an awful lot of violence. And they're not using AK-47s. They're using cheap handguns. And so what can we do to intervene to make sure that young people
disarm people of Chicago so the criminals all go there?
That our schools are working. That if there's violence on the streets, that working with faith groups and law enforcement, we can catch it before it gets out of control.
That means having churches spy on you.
Is a comprehensive strategy. Part of it is seeing if we can get automatic weapons that kill folks in amazing numbers out of the hands of criminals
and pause.
The mentally ill.
Okay, scum, liar. He's just following a anti-gun script from the Violence Policy Center and George Soros. Obama, you know you can't buy full auto weapons. And they used that poor woman, he's like, has crazed eyes when she talks about assault weapons, machine guns. Number one, lady, special forces don't put their guns on full auto. Full auto is a lot safer than actually somebody knowing where they're putting the bullets. I'm so sick of idiots know nothing about guns. Now, Obama knows all about them. He's lying, saying criminals have full auto. The only criminals that have full auto are the ones that got it from U.S. military personnel in black ops who were ordered to ship full auto into Mexico to destabilize that country. And the big U.S. banks and Western banks caught giving full autos and armored vehicles and planes to the drug dealers because they run the drug operations. Wells Fargo, Wachovia, they all got caught running the aircraft, funding the guns, all of it. Shut up when you talk about death and destruction, how you care about people. What a joke, Obama. What a joke. We all know about the CIA in Mena, Arkansas. We all know about Fast and Furious. We all know about Iran-Contra. Don't sit there and talk about some individual you know, that got shot in the head and how terrible the automatic weapons are. The only people selling automatic weapons or giving them out are you. So you can blame our Second Amendment. Let's go back to him here.
But part of it is also going deeper and seeing if we can get into these communities and making sure we catch violent impulses before they occur.
Governor Romney, the question is assault weapons, AK-47s.
Yeah, I'm not in favor of new pieces of legislation.
Aleister Crowley is so arrogant and loves her power and like a big fat parrot sitting up there in front of people on television. These egomaniacs just relish being on air. They just love it. They just absolutely love it. I'm here because I have to be. I don't want to be here. And I've been around these egomaniacs. I was talking off air to Joe Curl of the Washington Times. I need to get him back to tell the story. He was naming the names of these national TV people, just laughing and giggling and talking about all this and laughing during the debate and laughing at how they knew, you know, stuff was lies, but still supporting Obama. I mean, it wasn't secret what he was telling me. We just never got to it on air. We were talking during a break. He talked about some of it on air. It's funny to them. I've been around it too. I've been to these national events and to the RNC and DNC and stuff. And they love the fact the public's dumb. It's funny to them to sit there and lie to everybody. Obama and Aleister Crowley and all those, you know, the moderator, they all know that there's not fully auto out there. They all know that Fast and Furious ship guns into Chicago and Indianapolis and Tampa and other areas, and it came out. They all know. It's just a sick joke to them, posing like they're the humanitarians. Let's play some more of
Mr. on guns and taking guns away or making certain guns illegal. We, of course, don't want to have automatic weapons, and that's already illegal in this country to have automatic weapons.
Good job, Romney.
What I believe is we have to do, as the president mentioned towards the end of his remarks there, which is to make enormous efforts to enforce the gun laws that we have and to change the culture of violence we have. And you ask, how are we going to do that? And there are a number of things. He mentioned good schools. I totally agree. We were able to drive our schools to be number one in the nation in my state. And I believe if we do a better job in education, we'll give people the hope and opportunity they deserve and perhaps less violence from that. But let me mention another thing, and that is parents. We need moms and dads helping raise kids.
Oh, wow.
Wherever possible.
Parents are needed. Oh.
Having two parents in the home, and that's not always possible.
The state doesn't like that.
A lot of great single moms, single dads. But, gosh, to tell our kids that before they have babies, they ought to think about getting married to someone, that's a great idea.
Oh, yeah.
Because if there's a two-parent family, the prospect of living in poverty goes down dramatically.
Yeah, four times.
The opportunities that the child will be able to achieve increase dramatically. So we can make changes in the way our culture works to help bring people away from violence and give them opportunity and bring them in the American system. The greatest failure we've had with regards to gun violence in some respects is what is known as Fast and Furious, which was a program under this administration, and how it worked exactly, I think we don't know precisely, but where thousands of automatic and AK-47 type weapons were given to people that ultimately gave them to drug lords. They used those weapons against their own citizens.
Yeah, Clinton did that in 97. They had the Chinese government bring guns.
This was a program of the government. For what purpose it was put in place, I can't imagine.
Hit pause. Well, since you can't imagine, I told you this over a year ago, but ABC News and CBS earlier this year, it was the memos have come out in Congress that it was to be blamed on the Second Amendment. And Obama went ahead and still did that, along with Holdren, Eric Holder. I mean, I am just tired of it. Let's go back to more of this disgustingness.
The great tragedies related to violence in our society, which has occurred during this administration, which I think the American people would like to understand fully. It's been investigated to a degree But the administration has carried out executive privilege to prevent all the information from coming out. I'd like to understand who it was that did this, what the idea was behind it, why it led to the violence. Thousands of guns going to Mexican drug lords.
Governor, if I could, the question was about these assault weapons that once were banned.
There you go, a slap down. And of course, Fast and Furious is related. She's asking about assault weapons, the president shipping them into Mexico. What are you going to do about it? Okay, we'll have the government stop shipping guns in. And then the know-it-all Aleister Crowley in a wig gets up there and is going to dictate to everyone. We're going into overdrive. I got to go to Paleo and others. I mean, just unbelievable Aleister Crowley.
You walk into this room at your own risk because it leads to the future. Not a future that will be, but one that might be. This is not a new world. It is simply an extension of what began in the old one. It has patterned itself after every dictator who has ever planted the ripping imprint of a boot on the pages of history since the beginning of time. It has refinements, technological advances, and a more sophisticated approach to the destruction of human freedom. But like every one of the superstates that preceded it, it has one iron rule. Logic is an enemy and truth is a menace.
The answer.
The answer to 1984 is 1776.
That's right.
You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
All right, let's go to Paleo in Florida. Thanks for holding. You're on the air. You heard Candy Crowley, I call her Aleister Crowley in drag, say that Fast and Furious has nothing to do with crimes being committed with guns, and she said so. And she said that the president said that was a terror attack day one in Benghazi, and she said the sun didn't come up this morning, too. And, well, last time I checked, it's dark outside. She's right. So there you go. She's God. What's your comment or question today, sir?
Yeah, how you doing, Alex?
Good.
I just want to let you know you're doing a wonderful thing with exposing Illuminati and how Obama wants to take care of the guns and all that. But the void about everything is I need you to go back to your roots, Alex, where you went onto how we'd won the West. And that to me, I liked who you were then because you were telling me the truth then.
Well, that's not my roots. I mean, I think I was in Kevin's film like, I don't know, 3 or 4 years ago, exposing the fact that marijuana should be decriminalized. I talked about that yesterday, actually, at some length. It was Monday. So, I cover it all. Just because you tune in and don't hear me covering something at one time doesn't mean that, you know, I don't cover it.
No, Alex, I always listening to you, and I love your work when you expose Illuminati, and all you bring in is health ranges and all that, but then you have other people that are trying to give you nutrients that aren't really nutrients, you know, they're giving you powder forms, and we all know what real food is. You can't preserve it, you can't put it in plastic, you can't, that's just what it is. You can't put it in the freezer, in the fridge, and expect it to still be alive. That's just the truth about everything, Alex. That's why I need you to be talking about these people. Instead about the Illuminati and the gold, because they're never going to understand that because they can't even understand their own feet. They can't.
We're trying the best we can. I hear you though. Lance in Utah, you're on the air. Welcome.
Thank you. I guess I could label myself an Infowar Mormon, and I wanted to give you a little bit of insight I have on Mitt Romney because I'm close to really close to that family in a sense that I'm one person away from him, but. But I think it will help people to clarify who Romney is a little bit more within this construct. And I just want to mention that I'm a full Ron Paul supporter, but I noticed that the elite do not like Mitt Romney. Didn't like him in the first time he ran. They consider him a lesser of two goods, if you will, and that's why they always put other people in front of him throughout the whole debates. Because at Romney's core, and I can really attest to this, and it's the same opinion I think Joel Skousen has. Yes, he's deceived. I mean, he's been in the corporate world. He's been wrapped up in making money his whole life. And he's just now. But, I mean, it is a tenet of his religious faith that the Constitution is a divine document. It's actually, I think, we're the only religion that I am aware of that actually believe that it really truly is. it's canonized in our scriptures as a divine document, and so Mitt Romney, I consider him to be like I was about 10 years ago before I woke up to all this crap, and so he, and I've seen him. Yes, he flip flops, but I've flip flopped as I've woken up. But I see him as at his core, a very good man. I mean, instead of secretly worshiping Lucifer in his private time, he secretly worships Christ. And I truly believe that is
the case. We're out of time for this segment. We'll have to cover it more on the nightly news tonight, 7 o'clock in the 48-hour transmission tomorrow. There's the moderator. We found a picture of her. Two different photos of her.